Get ready for Primetime Live, powered from the Sereno Cigar Company studio in North Carolina. It's episode 2 of the Primetime Show. This week, we put Mr. Warmth, Hector Alfonso Sr. of Espinosa Cigars, in the hot seat. Our debonair ideal will talk about baseball, and we will have a name for our hot topic segment where we will talk about limited edition cigars making a comeback. This segment is sponsored by Saga Cigars. Every new blend borrows from the past, and the Saga Blend Number 7 has done just that. It's the perfect combination of timeless knowledge and traditional tobaccos and the newer balance that today's cigar enthusiasts come to expect and love in a finer cigar. Leveraging 6 generations of experience and tradition of the Reyes family, the Saga Blend Number 7 delivers a full-flavor, medium-bodied cigar. The cigar is highlighted by a Brazilian wrapper over a blend of Central American and Dominican tobacco. Available in 3 sizes at an affordable price, the Saga Blend Number 7 is sure to please and bring together past and present. Sponsored by Drew Estate. Check out and download the Drew Diplomat app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. Available on iTunes or Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And by Villiger Cigars. Since 1888, Villiger Cigars has been experts in everything tobacco, including offering a wide range of premium cigars for all connoisseurs. Try the new Sandoro line featuring the Sandoro Maduro, the Sandoro Clower, and the Sandoro Colorado, rated in the top 25 cigars of the year by Cigar Aficionado for 2016. Visit their entire line of premium cigars at VilligerCigars.com. Welcome, everybody. It's episode number 2 of the Primetime Show. Will Cooper from the Sereno Cigar Studios here in North Carolina, joined by my co-host, 3,000 miles across the country, Mr. Aaron Loomis of Developing Palates. Aaron, how's it going tonight?
It's going fantastic. Great weather here. Still daylight, not like you guys on the East Coast, but hopefully you'll still enjoy it.
No, so we actually had a cooler week this week. It was kind of one of those 60-degree damp weeks we had. I was hoping we'd get some rain here because I'm getting worried we're going to get into drought conditions. We really haven't had that soaking rain. So I'm hoping the April showers like kind of just go to form at this point, but I'm not too optimistic here.
Can't talk to California guys about drought. We'll blow you off. You don't know what you're talking about yet.
No, I hear you. Yeah, but don't they always? Well, they say it never rains in Southern California, but you're in Northern California.
Yeah, we get rain for a couple months through the year, but we've got a ton of rain this year, which is sorely needed. We had 7 or 8 years of just no rain, so it's good to see some.
I was in Oakland in 1997. I'll never forget this, and it was in January, and it was one of those weeks where I guess the bands of rain were coming off the coast, and it was just band after band of rain for like 8 days.
Yeah,
it was brutal.
Yeah, sometimes when we get it, we just get a ton of it, which is good. But it comes in, like you said, it comes in waves, and it's every 5 or 6 years we just get a bunch dumped on us, but pretty dry the rest of the time.
No, awesome. And I see things have been pretty busy on Developing Palates this past week as well.
Yep. Well, we launched our first 3-person team review with Seth joining June and I. So that was good. Next week, we'll have another one like that featuring a pretty special Cuban. So we'll be doing a few more Cubans coming up as well.
Yep. And I want to remind folks in 2 weeks, we're going to have Developing Palates is actually going to take over the Primetime Show, because we're going to have Seth and June on, and we're going to do a whole show with those guys. So I know we're looking forward to that as well. But we have absolutely a terrific show lined up. We're going to get to Hector Alfonso in a minute, but we're going to have our debonair ideal segment, which will be on baseball, which is Hector's going to join us for the whole show, by the way. So we'll have that on baseball, something that's near and dear, I think, to all of us. And then we're going to go – we will have a name for the renamed Hot Topic segment. We'll wait. We'll kind of reveal that. And it's going to be on those limited cigars making a comeback. And I'm sure we're going to have a good discussion on that.
Yeah, there'll be some opinions shared, I'm sure.
Yep. Just to remind folks, we're going to be giving away Cigar Coop Challenge coins again. All you need to do is listen to when I say the password. And tonight's password is tobacconist. So when I say the word tobacconist, send an email to coop@cigar-coop.com. And I'll pick two winners at random tonight for challenge coins. And the ones, the winners already got theirs last week. So we got those out. So without further ado, let's bring in the man they call Mr. Warmth. He is the director of operations at Espinosa Cigars, Hector Alfonso. Hector, Will and Aaron, welcome to the primetime show.
Amigos, qué bueno estar aquí con ustedes esta noche. I'm sorry. So good to see you guys here. It's the Miami DNS server. Just everything is in Spanish. Good evening. Glad to see you guys. Coop, my good friend Coop, and Mr. Loomis. How are you, sir?
Fantastic.
I'm glad you guys had that intro because, Coop, I was looking through this 422-page PDF download that I found online that explained developing pallet scoring system. And I'm still going through the index. I haven't gotten a chance to get to the intro yet.
They
it's funny. June wrote the introduction in Cantonese, which is great. So I'm going to be a little busy for the next while, you know, during commercial breaks and stuff like that, I'm going to be scouring. So it's good to see you guys. And it's good to be on your, it's good to be here on your debut show. I'm sorry. It's good to be here on your second show. I don't want to say there's some discriminatory Spanish thing going on, but I have my two Anglo friends and Casey on the show. A show about tobacco and not a single Latin guy was on the show.
It's gonna come guys, on, put your seatbelts off in this show tonight.
Look, I voted for Trump too, okay? Come on, let's make America great slowly. All right, slowly. So anyway, no, it's good to be on. I'm a big fan of Coop's since the beginning. And I was really I met Aaron and June at the show last year, and I was quite impressed with them. And trust me, I looked for Coop and Seth. I called Seth and I looked for Coop. I said, these guys are legit. And they went, yeah. I mean, you actually spent 45 minutes talking to them. I think I spent more than an hour talking to those guys.
Yeah.
And Coop will attest, I don't talk to anybody that long.
Yeah. If you get past the 2 minute mark, you're okay, I think.
You're in. If you get past the 5 minute mark, you're in, man. I mean, you know, and I was very impressed with you guys. You guys are very cordial and you were happy to be there. And I like talking tobacco. When I'm at the show, especially, I like to talk cigars and I like to talk our cigars. And I like to talk everybody else's cigars. And like I said, I'm still learning, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to talk to guys who are fans, you know, and fans of not just our stuff, but fans of the Leaf and guys who are, believe it or not, I believe are, serve a purpose. I mean, you know, you have no idea how many, even though Miami is probably not the place for it, you have no idea how much this, what you guys do, helps consumers and helps other fans. You know, they get to learn, they get to, you know, you might be able to hedge them in the right direction of what cigar to go with, what cigar to maybe avoid. You guys serve a purpose, and I think that's great.
Thank you. I gotta add, before we actually kind of get into it, I gotta ask one question. Hector, there was a picture of you that Eric Jr. put up of you smiling at a cigar, at the Big Smoke. What was up with that?
All right. You see, this is a reason. All right. What had happened was, I don't remember what, I think I may have been, see, Eric Jr., he's a good kid. He could be my son. He's 25 now. And for a kid 25 years old, I think he spent a third of his life around tobacco. And around the personalities and individuals and characters who make up this industry. And that fruit did not fall far from that tree. So he knows that a happy Hector is a good Hector at these events. And happy Hector is usually plowed with alcohol. So, you know, I look over and there's a drink in front of me. I look over again, there's another drink in front of me. So, you know, after three or four drinks in the span of 10 minutes, hell, who the hell is not going to smile? You know, so I was probably a little touched by the hand of God there, but trust me, by the end of the evening, I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. It wasn't a smile on my face at all when the show was over. So, but it was a great event for us. I mean, we had a great spot. As soon as you came in the door, boom, you had Espinosa. Eric was there. Eric was working the crowd. You know, we handed out a lot of cigars, and you know, it was good. It was good for us. You know, for a company that's still up and coming, it was a good spot to be in, and we were in very good company that night.
Oh, excellent. Now, you actually kind of kicking things off with 2017. There's been some management changes at Espinosa, and you've assumed some new responsibilities, as well as Eric Jr., correct?
Yes. All right. The first thing we did was we tried to streamline a few things. It's a family business, and when you have a family business, the guys in charge are involved in every aspect. But Eric has a small team there. He has a good team. I've been with him since day one. His son has been with him since day one. We figured, you know, let's be honest, we're going to get as far as Eric takes us. And Eric doesn't like to travel that much. I mean, you know, he travels because it's for the good of the company, but he'll tell you, man, this is rough, but he does us no good in the office. And he'll tell you, he does us no good in the office. He needs to be out of stores. He needs to be shaking hands, doing card tricks, telling jokes, pushing our brand, talking about tobacco, talking about cigars, and doing the thing that he does in stores that very few guys in this industry can do. This guy will walk. I've seen him. The guy will walk in and he'll go, "Oh, wait a minute. I saw it 3 years ago. Yeah, you were here 3 years ago. Your name is Greg. Yeah, yeah. Hey, didn't you just have a baby?" You know, incredible recollection. You know, I'm usually can't wait to get out of the store and never remember anybody's name that I saw there. He's, you know, he's quick and, you know, he's on top of it, and he's a character, man, and people are drawn to him, you know. And it behooves us to have him out there. Last year was probably his biggest travel year. This year it's he'll probably travel the same amount of time this year that he did last year, but we're going to have him on the road a little more consecutively, you know, maybe 10 days at a time instead of just 3 days here, 4 days there. We need to get him out of the office, and he doesn't need to worry about, do we have toner, or, you know, did this get handled? He has, you know, he has guys that he has confidence in. And his son was always, I mean, people ask about the promotion. His son was always his partner in this industry, in the business. And his son is being groomed because, you know, the company, the future of the company is only as bright as you have the person you have to replace it. Eric's not going anywhere. Eric's still a young man. He's 50 years old. And the sooner Junior's learned every aspect already of the business. You know, he's gone to Nicaragua a couple of times already. He's, you know, he learned the shipping part. He's, you know, he's watched his dad sell. He works the show. We need to get his face out there. And I can only look at it this way, with having a national sales manager, Mr. National out there, and then, you know, Eric out there, having yet one more person out there selling, pushing our brand, you know, making those connections can only be a benefit for our company. So the concentration will be Eric will be on the road. When Fernie's not on the road, we're going to try at least have somebody back in the office just for a little fail safe. Junior will be on the road. And I thought I would maybe take a little deep. I might take the Mr. Warmth tour this year, but it's my trips to Nicaragua just, you know, maybe at the end of the year. You know, maybe at the end of the year, I'll take it. Because there are a couple of stores that are very kind, very nice to me. And I feel very comfortable with the owners there and the clientele. And I think I'd like to do my part in that, even though I'm not a salesman. If at the end of the day, if you were depending on me to sell our cigar, we would be selling mangoes. All right. So not really something that I would thrive in. But so that's what we did. I'm in charge of I've always been his right hand man. Now I'm, you know, officially his right hand guy. Any problem he has, he passes it down so he can concentrate on moving the company forward and not get tied down to the nuts and bolts stuff that I can handle and Junior can handle. So that's what it is. I mean, there wasn't anything else. You know, we still have Fernando. Fernando's still doing his thing. Fernando still oversees our reps out there. And, you know, it's just a matter of pushing forward. I say it every year, and every year he looks at me, and it's true. This is every year the show's bigger and bigger for us. And this show is even a bigger show than last show for us, especially with the climate. This climate is even worse. It's even a little more crazy than last year, where we don't know. I mean, just nobody has an idea. I mean, yeah, there's been some regulatory scale back, and there's been talk about regulatory, all these different regulatory commissions being scaled back, but not a single question about tobacco uttered at any of the press conferences. And that has us worried, plus the pushback of the lawsuit down to August 30th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And all along, and all the while these, while the court date he's putting back, we have things that are in the pipeline. May 10th is, I think May 10th is the next deadline for the packaging and the warning labels. You know, so you can't just sit back on your laurels or sit back on our heels or our hands and hope that everything goes away. You have to keep plodding along with these ridiculous FDA guidelines until, hopefully they're gone.
Absolutely. Now you still have responsibility on the factory end. Like, you haven't shed those responsibilities that you mentioned.
No, I would never shed those. That's that. Believe it or not, that's my favorite part. Because when I'm in Nicaragua, it's I'm not here. So no, it's tobacco doesn't talk back, and you don't have to slap tobacco down. So no, I that's my favorite part, because it's the one of the things I'm proudest of the most is that. That's something I went into with very little knowledge, and luckily, you know, I was blessed. I believe I've been blessed with a pretty decent palate, and I think a willingness to learn that, you know, and like I've said in all the other interviews I've done on this show, not on this show, but on the previous show you were on, the other shows that I've been on. To me, it's not my goal to learn every single thing about tobacco and learn how to use every single leaf and every single filler and binder and wrapper. And the important thing is that I know what he likes and that I know what our customers like and the people who make cigars for, and we can make a good product.
Yes. You know, and you know, I was actually down at the Espinosa factory, and it's a very intimate factory. I'm amazed that you've gotten what you've gotten out of that factory. Just cause
it's funny when you say that, when people find out that you know that you work in the cigar business, and then when you tell them what your duties are, you know, and you work on the blends and stuff like that, they have no idea. They think all the factories are the same. They think every factory is filled to the rafters with rollers and tosiadores, and there's tobacco popping out of every corner of the building. They don't know that some of these are small, quaint little operations, and that we have been able to make the footprint that we've had with the size of the factory that we've had and the troubles and the growing pains that we've had, where there were times at the beginning that we couldn't get the tobacco we wanted because we were small. But, you know, Eric's perseverance led us, you know, to be able to open many doors for us. And, you know, look where we are now. I mean, you know, Protocol, a couple of Cigar of the Year, and one of the media outlets gave a Cigar of the Year. What is it? The Crema did well. The Habano did well in aficionados. La Ranja was a top 25 a couple of years ago. We're doing great. I mean, plus the stuff we make for Cornelius and Anthony, which is really taking off. You know, I really like that guy. I really like Stephen Bailey. Down to earth guy, good Virginia man. And, you know, I like the team he's assembled as well. His son just came and spent a week with us in Miami prior to the big smoke, and he hung out with Eric, and he hung out with me, and he hung out with Junior, and you know, it's business. Sure, we're business partners, and we're doing business together, but that's not how we roll. We took the kid to dinner, we hung out with him, we talked to him, I took him to a couple stores. You know, we just didn't treat him like he was. You know, we treated him like he's going to be part of the family. We don't expect those guys to go anywhere, and we're not going anywhere. God willing.
Will Cooper and Aaron Loomis, episode 2 of the Primetime Show. We're talking with Hector Alfonso of Espinosa Cigars. But Hector, you mentioned the growing pains, and obviously there was a big announcement with moving some of the production to AJ Fernandez's new San Latino factory, which I saw. I got to see that firsthand, and you're going to be in very good hands with that factory.
Come on, you're giving me access to a cigar Toys R Us. You're giving me Willy Wonka's cigar factory. You know what I'm saying? This is, first of all, I met AJ a couple of years ago, and I liked him, and he took a liking to me. And, you know, we just started talking about doing stuff together 6-7 months ago when this came down. But he's a guy who likes tobacco. He likes to talk about tobacco. He loves his tobacco. And I like that. Yeah, people say, well, he's a little cocky. And he's like, no, it's a guy. He's proud of what he does. And, you know, I can't wait to go and sit with him. And, hey, when are we going to start? And he tells me the same thing. He sends me a text. Hey, I know you're coming in a couple of weeks. What are we going to do? And I'm like, bro, I'm at your disposal. if you got time, because, you know, the guy's a busy guy. You got time? Let's sit around. Let's make something. You know, let's make something. That's to us, it's a chance for us. First of all, it was a chance for us to put all our 601 stuff together. Okay. 601 is not going to suffer. That cigar, you could make that cigar on the moon. That cigar is going to sell. Cigar tastes great. That cigar has a footprint. And that's a cigar that's went through band changes and manufacturing, you know, and it still managed to be until about a year ago. It still hit one of the magazines last year, gave it a top 25, you know, and that's, you know, I remember telling Junior, I go, man, they gave the top 25 to one of the 601s that, you know, it's the past, but we've never forgotten our past. And I think, as a matter of fact, Half Wheel, I'm sorry, those guys in Texas, they gave the 601, they gave the White a very high rating, and they gave the Warhead a very high rating. So, I mean, we're really spreading it around. I mean, we seem to be getting acknowledged everywhere, and that's good for us. And Eric will tell you, he has to put the brakes on it, because it was up to us. We'd have a new cigar every month. You know, we would have had a cigar. We are work. If it was up to us, since the moment we opened that factory and Espinosa opened 5 years ago, we would have a 6-page sales sheet, because we would have a cigar every month. Every month we'd have a brand new cigar if it was up to us, you know?
You know, the thing that I saw in that factory, actually, the facility aside, I saw the synergy that Eric and AJ had. There's a mutual respect with the two guys, and you can see they genuinely get along, and more than that, they want to work with each other.
They're peas in a pod. Peas in a pod. They're both alpha dogs. They're both alpha males. They're both, you know, they like what they do, and they're both, you know, in their own way. And, you know, they're competitive guys, and sometimes you can shelve that. Sometimes you'll find a relationship where you can get two guys that are the same way, and they can kind of shelve that and work for a better good, you know, a common good. And that's what we're hoping. We're kind of banking on.
Yeah, and the other thing, now with the factory, have you guys actually started the production there yet? I mean, when I was there, it was just they were just opening that factory.
We should be receiving our first shipment probably middle of next month.
Nice. That's excellent. Aaron, I've been hogging this up. I'll turn it over to you for some questions.
Sure. Right before the August 8th deadline, you did a kind of a flood of new releases, like as many companies did, to try to get some product out so that you had kind of what you'd have available to you to kind of release out while the, I don't know what you call it, kind of the ban was in place, so no new releases are coming out. Can you kind of talk about what the thought process was in doing that and kind of how that's moving forward?
Well, sure. I mean, we like to consider ourselves front runners, and we like to think that we like to set our own pace and set the tone for things. But you know what? So that was a time where everybody was a bandwagon jumper. Everybody knew the importance of that date, and I took it upon myself that I was going to make sure that this company had a future. That, you know, that we were going to be able, you know, that we weren't going to be done, and, you know, in 3 years' time, not have anything new to release on a bigger scale come showtime. So I took it upon myself. Obviously, you know, I don't do things on my own, but I got the blessing, and he told me to run with it. So we went balls to the wall. We went balls to the wall, and we put out everything that we thought that we would be able to make, which put on this huge strain in our factory, because it was also showtime. It was also time that we had to have cigars prepped for the show. So, you know, you're talking about getting our cigars for the show ready, getting La Huala cigars for the show ready, getting the cigars you did for Protocol, getting the cigars you did for Cornelius, getting our own cigars ready, and yet still having some product for future larger scales release ready. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy. I think that we introduced enough stuff in before the August 8th deadline that it should keep us current and in the conversation for years to come. You know, one of the things that we're going to release. Well, you know what? I don't want to talk about the releases, not because they're secret. It's just, I think that's probably something Eric will enjoy doing, you know, and I think he'll talk about them in the next week or two or 3 weeks when we start pressing, you know, start press releasing what we're coming out with the show with. But we've got some interesting things that we're re-releasing on a larger scale. at the show, and we're excited. You know, we really want to make a big splash this year.
And can you kind of recap some of the more recent releases, maybe some of the stuff from last year's show and things that have kind of come up since then?
Let's see. Last year's show, we had the Murciélago that we released last year's show in a new size. That did very well. We released prior to August 8th, we released a set of Laranja available only at friends and family stores. You know how there's a couple of companies that are blue label or white label stores. We like to consider ourselves blue collar stores. Our guys are all blue collar stores. We released a Lancero box that had three different sizes of Laranja, not available in regular production. Released it in that. We released the Lancero for Laranja. We released the Crema, which was our Connecticut shade wrapper, which I thought was great. Croup reviewed it, and he reviewed the size that I was scared to death that he would review.
I like that size.
The 6x56. I thought, you know, and I was trying to whisper in his ear, you should do the Churchill. You should do the Churchill.
We couldn't get the Churchills for whatever reason. I mean, I think they went so quick. I mean, that's not a knock, but I think that's what happened.
Well, you know, so I wanted him to do that. What else we have? What are we else coming out? Oh, in a couple of weeks, we should have Eminent Domain, which is our second backroom series. The first one was the Alibi, which I think is what Coop's smoking right now.
Great cigar, by the way.
We did Aaron, I'm trying to combine your question. I'm trying to go everything that we've released and everything that we've done between the show and now on a larger scale. We did a Murciélago in a box press Toro. For a couple of stores in Texas.
You mean Torpedo? You mean
It was a box press Torpedo. I'm sorry.
That was Hector. That was the magic size of that blend.
I thought it was too. I really did. Yeah. And then we did some stuff last year we hadn't done before. We did some store blends. You know, I did a cigar for a store in Milwaukee called Cream City, which I love. It was our first time using Honduran tobacco. That worked out well. Man, Aaron, I'm not trying to blow off your question. It's just I can't remember. We did so much last year. I mean, we really did so much last year. Last year was a blur. After the show, and until the end of August, you know, that middle of August was a blur. I came back from the show sick, you know, as I always do whenever I come back from Vegas. I come back sick as a dog. And you know, there were 18, 19 hours in the office. You know, I took time off from my other job to get some stuff done there. So we really put out a lot of stuff, man. We've got a line extension on 601 Blue coming out. I don't want to be crass, but we got a buttload of stuff. We got a buttload of stuff coming out.
And a cigar that's near and dear to my heart is the 601 Black. Is that still on target to be able to a recent release or a
well we release? I did get it out into the market before August 8th. But what we did was Eric made a great point. He goes, look, we just released our regular Connecticut. We know the 601 Black will pick up traction whenever we release it because we know that people's palates have changed, where that cigar may have been too strong for people in the beginning when that came out 10 years ago. It's not going to have an issue if we delay that a little bit. So we wanted to make sure that Crema, which is the Espinosa, the Espinosa, Connecticut, got a fair shot.
Right. And can you talk a little bit about some of the projects that you're working kind of outside of the Espinosa side of things?
Well, without dropping names, because I don't want to take any thunder away from those companies, we're doing two cigars for Cornelius and Anthony. We're doing one cigar. We did a cigar for Protocol. And I know that you're going to have the lovely and talented Juan Cancel on your show in the next few weeks. You got to promo that a lot because, you know, you got to make sure that everybody takes the night off so they can watch Juan Cancel.
I hope Juan helps us promote it, actually.
Juan, let me tell you something. Juan is not the greatest self promoter because that has a negative connotation. Juan is an excellent promoter. He really is. That what they've done promoting themselves, they've done a great job doing it.
They took that brand. Yeah, I agree. In 2 years,
they took a brand that was meant to be a fun, you know, a hobby, and you know they've really ran with that, and it's done very, very well. And I you know, they give me a lot of props for that, but I give them a lot of props for sticking to it. You know, him and Bill Ives have done a very, very good job. Plus Bill Agassiz, who's helped them as well, who's helped mentor and foster them along. We're also doing a new cigar for La Hua. Not a new cigar because they released it last year, but it's going to be released in a larger, what's the word we used before, Coop? A mass release.
Wider distribution.
A wider distribution, my friend, a wider distribution. So yeah, that's what we have right now for them.
So a question from the chat room from Victor was, any chance at a barber pole release between a La Ronja and the Crema?
We have a barber pole that we released prior to August 8th. It's going to be a backroom series because barber poles are, you know, it's some people smoke them, but, you know, not really, you know, I don't want to say they're novelties, but they kind of are. You know, I don't want to label them as novelties, but they're kind of a novelty item. And to work on a barber pole with a La Ronja and a La Ronja with that Brazilian, with that orange wrapper and the Connecticut, believe it or not, I don't think it'll be too appealing, to be honest with you. It'll probably be a little hard to tell the two wrappers apart. I mean, mm-hmm. you'll notice it, but it won't be that striking contrast as you have when you smoke, you know, the barber pole that we did for West Coast, or, you know, one of the other barber poles that one of the other manufacturers make. You know, I think you want that barber pole to be striking. And I know Coop's probably waiting to drop it, but he wants to know when that candela is going to hit.
Wow, Hector, you are a mind reader. I'm actually thinking that, right? That was my next question.
Let me tell you something. That cigar, that is, of all the cigars I've blended, I'm the proudest of that. And it's been the hardest one for me to, it's not the hardest one to be proud of, but since it's not in full production for everybody, and only a certain number were made and sold and passed out, it's hard to brag about something nobody can get. I mean, it's my unicorn right now. It's not mine, but it's our unicorn right now. But I'll tell you what, when I knew I hit it when I smoked a lot of Candela prior to coming up with that blend. And that blend was in conjunction with what Danny wanted to do with the pickle juice. And I smoked a lot of Candela. And look at my face when I tell you, a lot of Candela. And some of it was great. And some of it was long clippings, you know, but I found a couple candelas that I really, really liked. And I tried to put ours somewhere in I tried to put ours and pickle juice is a little stronger. I think the pickle juice is a little stronger than the wasabi, yep. But I think the wasabi is just, it's got a little more flavor bombish, you know, than the pickle juice. And I'm very happy where that candela came out. Plus it's box pressed, which nobody's ever seen a box pressed candela. Not that I can tell. And I know you told me you'd never seen a box pressed candela.
I had not seen one. If anyone else has seen one, let me know, but I have not. And it's got, the name wasabi is just so appropriate for that cigar.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and there's no way to prove it, but Eric's always said that the hardest part of making a cigar is not making the cigar, it's naming the cigar and coming up with the concept of the cigar. And we're creative. I mean, the guys that Junior and myself and Aunt Bay, who's still, you know, part of the team as a creative consultant, and Fernando and Eric himself, who believe it or not, he's got ideas. You know, he's not just sitting there poaching all of us. He's got ideas, and somebody will come up with a great idea, and then by the time it's passed around the room, it's been fine tuned, and boom, there you got F bomb, and you got Saki bomb, and then you have Alibi. All these came from an idea we threw in a blender, and ideas came out. So we're very happy with that. The wasabi, I'm looking forward to. Trust me when I tell you.
And that's going to be backroom series, right? So that's going to be.
Yes, it is. It's going to be for the lounges and our friends and family. I mean, let's be honest. We have almost, I think we have close to 10 lounges now, or we're going to have 10 lounges in the next few months. And Eric has got so many friends, not just customers, friends who have stores. And this is how you keep those friendships. You know, you offer them things that not everybody can get, and You know, it only helps us. Anything, let me tell you something. I am all in this company, and anything that helps this company grow and helps expand its footprint is all I'm about. I could care less about anything else. All right. I'm about getting this brand out there and doing my part, and everybody else involved in our team does the same thing. You know, you stick to your strong points, you know, and for me, it's talking about the brand and talking tobacco with people who want to talk about it and putting cigars in people's hands. Don't ask me to sell a lot because, you know, I don't have the patience for that, but I can talk tobacco pretty much with anybody.
So let's talk about blending for a little bit. What are some of the differences that you experience when you're blending a cigar for Espinosa versus when you're blending a cigar for one of the other brands that you blend for?
Well, for instance, I was just down there in February. I was working with Stephen Bailey and Courtney Smith from Cornelius. We're working on two blends, Hector. We want to do two blends, but we're open to four or five things that we, you know. Okay, so what does it taste like? Have you had anything? What's the cigar that you have in mind that you smoke that you want something similar to this or something that it's in this ballpark that we can give it our own flavor? And they'll tell me, and you know, they'll tell me the characteristics they want, and then I'll go to Nicaragua. I'll look to see what we have. I'll look to see what we can find. I go over it with Carlos a little bit because, you know, Carlos runs our factory there, and you know, this is a team effort. You know, you keep them involved, because when you keep everybody involved, everybody believes, you know, everybody knows they have a stake in the future. So I'll talk to Carlos. I'll get his input. And you know, he's usually, all right, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. And I mean, you know, so far everything is, what's that character from Seinfeld? It's gold, Jerry, gold, you know? So we can go in that direction. Then for Eric and for Espinosa, usually it's a little different. It's got to tickle the nostrils. It's got to sting a little bit, bro, if it doesn't, you know, I don't taste nothing here, bro. I don't taste nothing, bro. Yeah. It doesn't sting the nostrils. It's got to sting the nostrils a little bit. It doesn't have to kill him, but he has to be able to, when he blows it through the nose, because he is, and you got, when you have him on your show, because if you guys don't have him on your show, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. When you have him on your show, he's got to tell you the story of the guy that he taught how to retrohale in California, and our lawyers have told him never to do that again. So when he blows it, he wants it to have flavor. He wants it to have some flavor, yeah, because he knows everybody doesn't retrohale. But when he blows it through your nose, it's got to dry up a little snot, you know, and he likes it. And that's the most important thing for it. It's got to be a cigar he likes. And if he doesn't like it, and for him, I've got my own methodology. You know, we're looking to, you know, in years past, we're looking to do this, and this. Okay, I'll go to Nicaragua. I'll smoke them. And then I have my own little Algonquin round table. You know, I have four or five guys that'll have the cigar before he does. And I know that might sound a little blasphemous, but you know who you trust. You know whose palate you trust. And Eric's a guy who smokes a lot of cigars. And on any given day, he could be, you know, he could be coming back from a trip where he's feeling like crap, or he's going on a trip where he's feeling like crap. So I try not to give him anything to smoke that day. Or, you know, today is a chew tobacco day. So, you know, there'll be 12 or 13 chewed cigars lying around the place. But, you know, when he comes in with that, hey, that fresh palate, that's the day you put that thing in his mouth. And he's like, oh, yeah. And, you know, believe it or not, he talks a lot of, he'll talk a lot of shit that, you know, that his thing is just selling, because he really doesn't, he doesn't have any long lost romantic feelings about being stuck on a farm, walking around and checking on the bodegas and the pilones. He doesn't want to do that shit. He wants to sell cigars. But the man knows what he likes, and he's been smoking a long time. So that's the key for me, was always to make sure that it's something in his ballpark. There's a couple of tobaccos that he loves. He just loves the flavor of. For him, wrapper, the lighter the better. And, you know, it's got to have that sting. If it ain't got that sting, it ain't in.
So let's throw another wrinkle into that. Let's say when you're blending for another brand and they also want to have a hand in the blending process, how does that kind of add to the process there?
We send them somewhere else. But next question. We send him to Santo Domingo. No, seriously. You know, we've been lucky that the people that we work with, the people that have worked with us, that have come to us to work with cigars, they trust us. Don't get me wrong. They're involved. We don't pick cigars for anybody. At the end of the day, these companies pick the cigars that they like. And at times they've been, you know, last minute changes. I don't know if you guys remember the La Huala Havana. La Huala Havana went through two or three prototypes. And it was just, something was wrong. You know, they weren't happy. So I took a trip to Nicaragua, changed this, put that, and then you get, oh, this is perfect. But it took four trips to do that. You know, it took us four times to get that cigar right.
Right.
My point is that, yeah, we have an idea. That's why we ask you extensively what you want. Like the guys from Protocol and the Protocol cigar and the Chinese finger trap, those came from luck because my idea for those were to try to kill Danny Moya. I wanted to make a cigar so strong that he'd inhale it and maybe, you know, fall over somewhere and leave me the hell alone with the stronger, stronger, stronger shit. And look, we caught lightning in a bottle with that cigar. They want to make a cigar. We give them the samples. Of course, we take their feedback. I want it sweeter. I want it this. I want it that. They let us drive. So we're lucky in that. We're lucky in that sense.
Yeah, so one of the cigars that I really enjoy, and I know it's a regional release, but I don't think it's gotten the buzz that it deserves, is the Pure 28. And you kind of told me the story about how that kind of came about with Tim. If you maybe kind of talk about how that worked out.
Let me tell you something. I am Tim was here just a few months ago. He went to Nicaragua during Coop's trip, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was with Tim.
Tim is a super nice guy, very personable. He's very likable. So the first time I met Tim, he's very well spoken, you know, but he fits in real nice because he's known Eric a long time, and he's an easy one of the, you know, there are guys that just mix in as well. They just become one of the guys easy. So Tim, until that point, I thought the guy who smoked more cigars than anybody I'd ever met was Fernando. I thought Fernando smoked more cigars than anybody I'd ever met until I met Tim Wong.
Oh my goodness. Because
Tim Wong, I swear to you on my beautiful little red-haired twins, okay? Tim Wong smoked 15 cigars with me in a four-hour time frame.
Wow.
So 4 hours, and he tried 15 cigars. And let me tell you something. It's not like the regular guys who try a cigar and they smoke an inch of it and then they put it down. Even if he thought it tasted like a dog rocket, he smoked it all the way down. And then we came upon a blend. I think it was like the 10th out of those 15th. It was way down the list. And I was looking through my cabinet. I go, oh, here, try this. And he smokes it. He goes, this is it. And then we gave it to Eric. And Eric's hilarious. He's like, this is one of ours? I go, yeah. And he goes, how come I never taste it? You did taste it. I don't remember that. So, you know, it became Pure 28. But it went through 10. He got 10 cigars down before he got to that one. And then he smoked another five after that. Eric went on a sales trip in California. He smokes his ashtray over, his ashtray runneth over. Okay. he was here in Miami. And we have, whenever he comes down here for some reason, we take him to eat Asian food. Don't ask me why. This, you know, when Coop, when you came down here, we had dinner. I didn't take you to Cracker Barrel. You know,
we take him to Peruvian dinner.
Yeah, we did. So we take him to eat Asian food, and he's like, "Are you guys serious? I don't know. It's today's Asian day. You just happened to come on Asian day." So they had just come back from Nicaragua. Eric was probably Eric must have been under the weather. I know Junior was sick as a dog, and I liked him. So I said, "You know what? Tim likes to do what I like to do." So I took him to Espinosa South and the Tower of the Hand of the King. Caribbean Cigars down there in Miami.
Official cigar store of Cigar Coop, by the way, in Miami.
The official cigar store of Cigar Coop. So I took him down there, and we were there till 11 o'clock, two nights, and after midnight, one night. And when I came back to the office, I went, man, this fucking guy can smoke. they went, yeah, he doesn't have his last cigar until 2 in the morning. So it's what now? It's what time is it now, guys? It's
10:45.
It's 10:45. So it's 7:45 p.m. in California. Mm-hmm. Tim's probably halfway through his cigar day. He's probably got another easy eight cigars to smoke. And he's a hawser. He's just like that guard from Scarface. He gets high on his own supply. You know, I just he's just pure 28ing it up, you know? But I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy the new Pure 28 that will be available for the show. Not the new, but the stuff that we released last year but didn't really see the light of day everywhere else. You guys are – I think you're going to enjoy that.
Yeah, what's the wrapper on that one going to be? Because I know the original was the Habano, right?
The original Habano, and the second one is going to be Mexican San Andreas.
Nice.
Yeah, and I like he's got some box press variations in there too. I know he's your West Coast rep, but this guy is a true tobacco guy. I mean, he knows the business, this guy, and he's going to do very well.
I wish he wasn't in California. I wish he was on the East Coast. I really do. I just wish he was on the East Coast. And you know, we don't get to see him as much, and you know, and he. It's an awfully hard state to sell tobacco in, and you know it's I heard they're seceding from the union, so I wonder how that's going to be like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if Aaron and I are going to have an international problem at that point.
Exactly.
Well, I think first of all you're going to have to sign some kind of agreement. So that sounds like some kind of international compact that you guys are going to have to sign to get this show done. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, we may.
Just don't let WikiLeaks get to your shows.
Anyway,
what are you smoking, Aaron? Aaron, I can't see what you're smoking. What are you smoking?
I'm smoking the Especial.
Very nice, very nice. Yep. That cigar, that's a cigar that we're really going to concentrate on this show because we didn't feel that it got the traction it deserved a couple of years ago. But I think that's a great cigar.
I do too, and it's aging wonderful. I mean, that's what I'll say.
I think
the retrohale is really important on this cigar too.
Yeah,
it's a good cigar. And I'm smoking a Cream City. I love that cigar. I think that cigar, had we not done it for Paul Grill at Metro Cigars, I mean, that could have been a Backroom Series or hell, and that's been also a cigar.
Absolutely. Aaron, anything else?
No, I'm ready to start talking baseball.
All right. So what we'll do is we will kind of just take a little we'll give our sponsors a little time, and then we will head into our baseball segment. This segment is brought to you by JRE Tobacco. The authentic Corojo leaf is one of the most robust and flavorful tobacco leaves out there. During the golden age of cigars in Cuba, it was the leaf of choice to make some of the world's greatest cigars. Because it is also one of the most challenging ones to cultivate, it fell out of favor in the 1990s. In the Jamestown Valley in Honduras, Julio Araroa took on the challenge of growing Corojo from the original Corojo seeds, and in 2000, he successfully reintroduced authentic Corojo back to the market. With 50 years experience in the tobacco business, from growing and curing tobacco to cigar production, the Araroa Tobacco Farm has been able to continue to deliver products to the market with authentic Corojo. Now with JRE Tobacco, Julio and his son Justo bring their very own brand to market, each containing the authentic Corojo leaf. Tatascan offers a mild to medium cigar in both Connecticut and Habano wrapper. Rancho Luna is a premium medium cigar available in Habano and a Maduro. And Aladino is a 100% authentic Corojo Puro representing that golden age of cigars from 1947 to 1961. Now available at your local retailer, be sure to ask for JRE Tobacco, a legacy that is tasted in every drawer. And we're sponsored by Cornelius and Anthony. If you're going to be wanted for something, be wanted for something great. That's what Cornelius Bailey set out to do five generations ago. And that is what Stephen Bailey is doing with Cornelius and Anthony Cigars. Using the finest tobaccos, Cornelius and Anthony brings to you the Daddy Mac, the Venganza, the Meridian, and the Cornelius. Find them at your local tobacconist. And we just talked about a bunch of those cigars. But Will Cooper, Aaron Loomis, we are here. I'm from the Sereno Cigar Studio in North Carolina. Aaron's in California. And we have Hector Alfonso, who's in Florida. So we kind of have a bunch of areas of the country here covered. What I want to do is we're going to get into our Debonair Ideal segment, which is where we kind of just connect cigars with some everyday things. And I thought we would do baseball tonight since the three of us are baseball fans. I just want to kind of give us an update real quick for people. And I hope Hector sticks around for the show after this. Final score, Philadelphia Phillies 6, New York Mets 4.
It doesn't matter because Hector's a Yankees fan, so it's not.
No, Hector is a – wait a minute, sir. The only thing worse than the New York Yankees is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. There's nothing I hate more. I am a Florida fan. I'm a Hurricane fan, a Seminole fan, a Gator fan, and anybody who plays Notre Dame. And when it comes to baseball, I hate the Yankees. And not because they're good, because you give them credit. They've been great for years. They've had some of the greatest players of all time. But I just hate the fans. And being a Met fan, you hate it even more because we've had so few good years as a Met fan. But it's hate. You know, it's hate. It's the Yankees. Oh. All right. So anyway.
So, yeah, I think and I'm a Phillies fan. Aaron, what's your team? Is it the Giants?
As odd as it sounds, I do not have a favorite baseball team. I'm very into fantasy baseball, so I'm really following players and things like that. And Hector and I talked about this a couple weeks ago.
That fantasy baseball thing explains the developing palate score sheet.
Exactly. It's like sabermetrics of cigars. Yeah,
exactly. It is. It's
the sabermetrics of cigars.
Cigar ball. Kind of call it cigar ball.
You might as well call it cigar ball.
There you go.
Yeah, but I don't really have a favorite team, but I always root for the local team. So the A's and the Giants, I'm kind of representing the A's tonight. But finally got rid of the Raiders, so we'll be able to maybe get a nice stadium here in Oakland. Kind of let the team represent itself. The Giants have a fantastic stadium, so got two good teams here.
You know, I'll just say I think the Mets, you know, I love what Terry Collins has done with that team, Hector. Aaron, I don't know. I think the Giants, though, I don't know. Do you think it's the end of the run for them right now? I mean, they've had a long run. Do you think it's time for them to kind of start rebuilding a bit?
See, I don't know. The thing is that they've always done it with, you know, some pretty good pitching and then just kind of a bunch of, like, I don't know, odds and ends on the hitting side. I mean, they got Posey, they got Pence, they got Belt, but it's just a bunch of supporting cast guys that kind of help out from there. So as long as the pitching can, you know, keep the team stable, I think they probably got another year or so in them.
The Mets just can't hit. I mean, Cespedes right now is hotter than a pistol, but he couldn't hit a cow in the ass. He couldn't hit a cow in the ass with a guitar towards the end of the year last year. He slumped. The pitching is strong. Harvey can stay healthy. And those two Nordic gods that they have pitching, I don't know where the hell they found Thor and his brother there. Those guys are fantastic. But I'm scared. I'm scared how Familia blew up a couple of years ago. Familia blew up pitching wise, and the bullpen's a little. I think the bullpen's a little shaky, but they don't scare you. They don't scare you. They've got a couple of young players, and Cespedes is a star. But you know, David Wright's hurt. You know, David Wright was started the season on the disabled list. Every year for the last 6 or 7 years, on April 1st, whenever the baseball season starts, I'm like, well, I'm a Mets fan until David Wright gets hurt. So we'll see what happens. But I've been a Mets fan for a long time, and I've suffered with them for a long time. And it seems to be part of my DNA because I'm a Dolphin fan.
Yeah, I think David Wright's pretty much done. I wouldn't count on him ever doing anything productive again. I think his back is too bad. I mean, they're keeping him around because he's, you know, kind of the face of the team. But I just don't think that his back will cooperate going forward.
I think, unfortunately, you're right. And I was really disappointed they let the second baseman go. It was hard to see Danny Murphy go.
Yeah, he's a monster right now.
Yeah, I just don't know if Washington will ever get it done. They just seem like one of those teams that are never going to get over the hump.
They got the arms. I mean, they got the arms.
Until Dusty ruins them. He always ruins arms. So.
Yeah. Well, he's no Tony La Russa. Okay?
No.
He's no Charlie Manuel either.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. I miss Charlie. Yeah, Charlie back.
I like the pitching coach for the Braves. He just sat there all the
Leo Mazzoni.
Leo Mazzoni just sat there and just rocked back and forth.
He didn't have to do much with those guys. He had, you know, Maddox and Glavin and Avery and all those guys.
I mean, the only easier job than that was like Weatherman in San Diego. But it's like, well, what are you doing today on Monday? Well, on Monday I'm handing the ball to Maddox, and on Tuesday I'm going to hand it to Smoltz, and on Wednesday I'm going to give it to Glavin. And let's see, what year is it? Avery gets it on the fourth day.
Yeah.
Oh, and then what was the name of that other? They had a guy who used to throw meatballs and shit. He was their fourth starter. I think he was right before Avery. Charlie Liebrandt. Charlie Liebrandt's going to throw, you know, Charlie Liebrandt's going to go 11 and 11 or 12 and 12, but he's going to throw 200 innings. So you don't burn out your bullpen. And then, you know, Avery will pitch. And then, hey, look, it's Monday again. And Maddox has the pitch again. And, you know, I love Greg Maddox. Greg Maddox is my favorite modern day pitcher. Greg Maddux, the maestro, you know, 92 pitches, 92 yep. pitches, 2 hour game, you know.
He wasn't the big strikeout guy.
No, he's a finesse guy, man. The Braves guys, they got those calls always on the outside. They stretch that strike zone as much as you get it.
Consistency, just like tobacco, consistency in your blend. If you consistently paint that corner, the blue is going to give it to you. Okay. I love Maddux. And there's a – he pulled a prank on, I think, one of the Cubs. There's a thing on
Chris
YouTube.
Chris Bryant.
Yeah, where Chris Bryant's like, hey, I can throw batting practice. He's like, well, this guy might hit me. And and then Maddux throws a curve and leaves him crazy, you know. Yeah. You go, wait a minute, you know, that guy threw a curveball at me, you know. Is this the baseball segment? Are we talking baseball now, or are we segueing into baseball?
No, it's our Debonair Ideal segment. And you know, it's ties with baseball and cigars, I think.
You can't smoke at the park anymore. That's, you can't smoke in the stands anymore. Look, I believe, and Eric is probably a better guest for baseball. And when you have him on, you got to rehash baseball. Because he, you know, one of the things that we do to break the monotony in the office, it's name the 73 Dodgers starting lineup. I mean, we're fans. I mean, we, from our generation, you know, we're 50 now. And I stopped. My kid is a huge fantasy baseball kid. My son Hector's 30 years old. And he is a huge fantasy baseball nut. I mean, the sabermetrics and the this and the that, the fantasy leagues and the what do you call the league where you keep a guy since he's a rookie? The dynasty league. He's a huge, but I can't keep up with the player movement anymore. I still do football because I'm good at it. Even though I haven't been good at it the last couple of years, I really shit the bed there. But he loves baseball. But there is such a romantic attachment to baseball because, you know, I think a lot of men, relationships with their fathers, relationships with their own son have something to do with baseball. I mean, my dad and I are, you know, my dad's still alive, thank God, and he still likes baseball. But being a Cuban immigrant for him, baseball was the one thing that, you know, he didn't need to speak English to enjoy in this country, you know. And my love of baseball came from him, and, you know, and he wasn't a Yankee fan growing up. He was a Cardinals fan growing up. But we lived in New Jersey, and you know the Queens was closer, so we went to Mets games, you know, and I remember my dad, you know, taught me what he knew and what he thought was important in baseball, and I think I taught my son a little bit about baseball, but he's, you know, he's a modern kid. He's not a millennial. He's already 30, but he's not about teams anymore. And I don't think a lot of guys are about teams anymore. They're about players. You know, they'll follow players who move around. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure if you're a Red Sox fan after they won the World Series, you know, because, you know.
Or a Cubs fan.
Oh, yeah, because, man, I tell you what, I think there are less roaches coming out of the woodwork than Cubs fans this year.
Right.
And no disrespect to my good friend Jack Taranio, who I know was a Chicago guy and a Cubs fan, but come on. I mean, you know, they were the dreadful Cubs for years and years and years and years, just like the miserable Mets. You know, the Mets were bad for years and years and years and years. So it's nice that baseball has kind of seen a little renaissance again, and I think all these good young players in the league are helping out. But there's such romanticism to baseball, and I got to tell you, we have a team here, and we have the worst owner in baseball. He's the same guy who drove the Expos into the ground. We've had several bad owners here. Huizinga brought us the championship, which was great. And John Henry, who now he can spend money in Boston, right, where he couldn't spend it here. And then we have these two schmucks. This guy Gloria. They got a stadium, and they have a ball player. They have a couple of good ball players, but we're never going to see those 2 years that we saw before when we won the World Series. But there's something romantic about day baseball. You know, when the Marlins were just starting out, even those first couple of years, I took a couple of afternoons off, and there's nothing like a 1 o'clock game. I mean, yeah, it's Miami and it's hot as hell, but there's nothing like 1 o'clock game. The stadium's not really that full, and the crack of the bat, the grass, and we were in the first couple of years we played at that Joe Robbie Stadium, because that's what it's always going to be. It's always going to be Joe Robbie Stadium.
Right.
It's not going to be Dolphin Stadium or Fruit of the Loom Stadium, or it's going to be Joe Robbie. For anybody who's a local, it's always going to be Joe Robbie. And the baseball park was kind of – the way it was set up was a little weird. I remember they made a big deal in the All-Star game that they sold 70,000 seats, I think, to watch the World Series game. I'm sorry. And you had fans who were sitting kind of like – the seats were fake, and to watch the game this way. But I love baseball. I really do. And I like National League. I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt, but I like National League baseball.
Me too.
I don't want anything to do
with the DH.
With the DH. Yep. Anything to do with American League. The American League is a softball league for me. I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
Give me a 2-1 game all day.
Yeah, I agree. I love that it's the managerial part of that, that it's strategy. That I think when you go managing the NL, it's you know, you're really managing there. You know, you're dealing with you know, substitute pitchers, things like that. You know, the new stadium is right. I guess it's right on the periphery of Little Havana down there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not in Little Havana, but it's kind of on that periphery by the highway.
Almost. Right on the cusp of the crime cusp. I'm sorry, did I say that? Right on the crime cusp, right there. You know. Of Shitbird Avenue and Douchebag Street. It's right there. It's a stone's throw away from what the hell am I doing here at night? That's what it is.
Right. And you know, Hector, I'll ask this question. You know, being in Miami, you know,
I don't work for the tourist board. Can you tell? All right, go ahead.
So you know, obviously there's a you know a large Cuban population. I was just
Send them all back. I'm sorry. Oh. My mom too. Send them all back. My parents too. They all gotta go. You just came from Cuba, right? Weren't you just
right?
You saw Cuba, Miami, or just the same? Except there's more Cubans in Miami. All right, go ahead, sir.
That's true. I mean, what I guess is surprising, but not surprising, is you know the Marlins. Have they struggled with attendance?
Yeah.
Because is this more because of the ownership and just the way the team's been put together?
The ownership. Look, they've broken the fans' hearts on several occasions. Yes, that's true. They've broken the fans' hearts on a couple of occasions. They haven't fielded great teams. But on top of that, this is a front-running town, okay? We are front-runners. Miami is all about you got to be good. If you're not good, nobody's going to these games, right? Nobody's going to go to these games. You've got to be good. There were days that you could have shot a mortar into the Orange Bowl and not hit a single fan watching a Hurricane game because they weren't good until they became good. Then – they were scalping tickets to go see the Miami Hurricanes. Miami is all about winning because you have to – if you don't have a winning team, you cannot compete with the nightlife, the restaurants, the beaches, the people watching, the sightseeing. There's a lot of shit to do here, all right? So if you're going to – if you want to draw fans to the ballpark, okay, you can have Pitbull do a concert after the show and you can give away all the T-shirts you want and, you know, hot dog and let the kids run the bases. But they want to win. People want to see the win. They want to see wins at the end of the game. And, you know, when you're rolling a guy out there, you know, on his last legs, you know, I mean, do you know who opened – you know who the pitcher was for opening day for the Marlins in their inaugural season?
Charlie Huff, wasn't it?
Charlie Huff. And he was 80 then.
Wow.
He was 80 years old then, okay? Junior Felix. These guys, they had guys out there that they weren't even retreads. There were no treads left on those tires.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, when you guys won it, it was Jack McKeon, right, who won it. He was a cigar guy. And he was a cigar guy. Big cigar guy.
Skipper Jack won one, and then don't forget Leland won the other one.
Yep.
Big cigarette guy. Big cigarette guy.
Oh, Jim Leland would be smoking up in the dugout. I remember with the Pirates.
He was smoking in the breezeway in the dugout. You know, he's got the yellow fingers because he's smoking Lucky Strikes with no filter. You know, guy's got that hacking cough.
we had Fergozzi with the Phillies, who was a chain smoker as well.
Former Met. Jim Fergozzi.
Oh, Jim Fergozzi. He doesn't get the credit what he did in 93 with that Phillies team. He does
former Met. My favorite Met. But
he was a good – I mean, he was good for us with the Phillies. I mean, he got
– favorite Met will be Tom Seaver. And believe it or not, my parents, my dad and my uncles used to rag on him, but we were huge Rusty Staub fans. The Rusty's – La Grande Orange. We liked Rusty Staub, man. Rusty Staub, you know. And Rusty Staub, when I started watching baseball, he was already an old guy. He played for the Pilots, and he had played for the Expos. And then I think he finished his career – he went to the Mets and then finished his career with the Expos again, if I'm not mistaken. But it's funny how I can't remember what I had for lunch 2 days ago. But I remember
– you do?
Shortstops, you know, I remember who played shortstop for the Mets here. I remember Wayne Garrett. Nobody knows who the hell Wayne Garrett is anymore. I remember Wayne Garrett. I was there as a kid when Bud Harrelson got his ass beat by Pete Rose. I was a little kid. I was 6 years old. Pete Rose slides into second. Bud Harrelson takes offense, hits him in the head with his glove, and Pete Rose commences to whip his ass. It's like a base, you know. You know, those, you know, you're like, hey, what's going on, Dad? No, they're whipping his ass. we love Pete Rose. My dad's favorite player, Pete Rose. Love Pete Rose. Eric sat next to Pete Rose on a plane. Tell me how jealous I am there.
Yeah.
I would have kept Pete Rose awake from Miami all the way to Vegas. I would have just talked baseball with him until he would have had the stewardess have me moved or something like that.
Did Eric talk blackjack with him?
I don't know, because you gotta tell Eric's gotta tell. I don't want to tell. I don't do him any justice by telling his stories, but you gotta hear the Pete Rose story. He's got he's got good Pete Rose stories. Eric, let me tell you something. That guy, the shit that happens to him, the things that he's seen. I mean, the story that he told. And you know, and they're not made up, because you just, all you got to do is sit around and you're like, this shit really happens to this guy. You know, this stuff doesn't happen to anybody. So, I mean, when he tells you the Pete Rose story, the best part of the story is that he had Pete Rose's book in his hand when he was boarding the plane. And then he's like, he didn't have enough. He just put it back in the car because he couldn't carry all the shit he was carrying. And who does he sit next to in the plane? Pete Rose. You know, it was crazy. Yeah.
So kind of bringing this back to cigars and things, one of the things I think is great about cigars and baseball is that there's no time limit with baseball.
For right now, right?
Well, yeah. But as has been, it's been a no time limit game. It's one of the few games that, you know, that has that kind of a layout. So, and that goes along with cigars. Like, when you want to sit down with a cigar, you don't want to be rushed. You want to be able to sit down and enjoy it. Right. And I think those two things go hand in hand, where you can kind of just sit back. The game could go, who knows, the game can go 15 innings, you know. It's all enjoyable. It's, you know, free baseball after the ninth. But just kind of tying that in with the cigar, just be able to sit back and enjoy it and kind of just go with the flow and kind of, you know, take what the cigar gives you, take what the game gives you, and kind of go from there.
Can you guys see me, or am I going?
Your video went off.
Yeah, well, we can hear you.
We can hear you. All right. Yeah, you know, right, I like
– Go ahead.
No, I like – you know, in my cave, I have – I listen to a lot more to baseball games, just because I'm multitasking sometimes at night when I'm having a cigar. I got the SiriusXM. I just love hearing the local games, enjoying my cigar, and I'll flip through the SiriusXM online and just listen to the different games. That's just something I enjoy. You know, with the hockey playoffs, a little less right now. Once the hockey playoffs are over, I'll probably be more into baseball.
Yeah, and then there's some more some recent players that kind of tie in with cigars. So like I mentioned earlier, Hector Cespedes, he's a big cigar guy. And then
He's got to play that role. He's a Cuba guy. He's got to, you know, he's got to be the, you know, he's got to do it. You know, that's part of the game. Oh, I figured out why my camera's gone. I'm sorry. I tried to set it on low battery, and when you set it on low battery, it will not it will not show the camera. So yeah, Cespedes is a cigar guy.
I didn't know that.
Yep, and Alexei Ramirez, he's not playing this year. I think he's pretty much done now, but he was playing last year with the Padres, but, you know, big White Sox guy. But he's also Cuban, big cigar guy. Picture him, you know, smoking in the dugout before the games and stuff like that. So, you know, those are two guys that I kind of tie in with cigars.
We haven't talked about Cuba, which, you know, Coop, that's always my favorite topic. And you know why? We know why we haven't talked about Cuba? Because it hasn't been relevant since January 20th. Cuba has not been relevant since January 20th. Now, I'll tell you what. Well, Jose Fernandez tragically died last year. But you could have pretty much, if that regime ever goes by the wayside, the influx of Cuban players, I mean, you had enough. I think you had enough Cuban players in the All-Star game to field the team, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to think. You had enough players to field the team.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when these guys get a chance to play ball, you know, they're not playing with bottle caps in the middle of some street in Havana. It's going to be great.
Yeah. They did tell me in Havana they can get the Marlin game sometimes at night.
Why would they want to? I mean, I think that's worse than getting Radio Marti.
Well, I think better than.
That was pretty good. I think that does them no benefit at all. You know, I think they'd rather have 8 hours of Radio Marti and listen to the Marlins game. But all right, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it was so I mean, there is an interest in U.S. baseball, is what I'm saying, in Cuba.
Well, they do follow. They've always there's some guys who are huge in the exile community, what's left of it, you know, what's still alive, you know, Lasorda, the Cuban exile community loves Lasorda. He played baseball in Cuba. Cuban exile community loves Earl Weaver because, you know, the Baltimore Orioles made Miami their winter home for many years, and spring training games were here. They're, you know, they know baseball. Don't get it twisted, as they say.
No, they do.
They don't know a lot about democracy, but they know a lot about baseball.
Yep.
And baseball is really big in the Dominican, and I've never been there or watched a game, so I'm not sure if they allow – I would assume they allow smoking in the stands there, but that might be a good spot to be able to catch a game and smoke a cigar at the same time.
Yeah, sure. I don't see why not. I mean, yeah, it's the only thing that I think that Cuba lacks pitching. They don't have the pitching. The arms are not of the same caliber as the bats are. Mm-hmm. And when I go to Nicaragua and it's baseball season, I'll watch some Cuban baseball. It hurts me. But I'll watch it. I got to watch something because, you know, you really haven't lived until you've seen Big Bang in Spanish.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Shout at them. Get the wasit. Yeah, you know, it's just not the same, you know? So.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. So I think anything else to wrap up the segment?
No, I hope I don't run out of juice here. All right. Go ahead. I'm good.
Oh, good. Okay. So, because, yeah, we got the big segment coming up. You can't run out of juice.
No, I cannot.
What we'll do is we'll get into Aaron and I will briefly discuss our cigars we've been smoking. Mm-hmm. And this segment is brought to you by The Cigar Shop. The Cigar Shop is the best for premium handmade cigars. Visit their locations in Monroe, North Carolina, and South Carolina's largest walk-in humidor in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You can find them on the web at www.cigarshop.com. And so, Aaron, you were smoking this week the Especial.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
This is a really nice cigar. Like I mentioned before, retrohale is really important on it. Gives a really nice cedar note on the retrohale. More of a generalized woody note kind of in the mouth flavor. But it's very nuanced and something you have to really pay attention to get all everything that the cigar is offering. So, definitely something I'm looking forward to you guys pushing this year at the show. Definitely think it's well deserved. So, I'm hoping it gets a big push and, kind of gets that audience that you guys are hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what size were you smoking?
I believe it was the Robusto.
That's my favorite size. No, actually, no, that's not my favorite. My favorite size is the small Churchill. I like the number one in the Especial. I have become a small ring guy, Gabe. I used to smoke 52, 54, you know, an occasional 60. I can't go that route anymore. It's all about the small ring cigar for me. I just can't do it, you know? And when small ring cigars became super popular, when big ring cigars became super popular, when the economy went to crap, I did not drink the Kool-Aid on that. Sorry, guys. I know that all the video. I'm making your video production. You're not going to win a CB award. Still,
getting seasick.
No, I'm trying. Can you believe my Wi-Fi went down half an hour before this? Never goes down.
It always happens.
Never goes down. But I think the Russians had something to do with it. Yeah. Definitely, for sure, the Cubans had something to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, the Cubans are the Cuban government's very busy here. I heard they're the ones who stole the Fuentes. They needed cigars that would draw. too soon.
Still true.
Somebody put that today. The surgeon put something about, oh no, I think it was Robbie. Rob put something about Cuban beard oil. Something he made a comment about Cuban beard oil somewhere, and I said, I heard it doesn't draw. So, you know, every chance I get, I'll take a shot.
There you go. You're talking about small ring gauges, Hector. And I think it's a size. I'm smoking a cigar, the Alibi, and it's a size that I think you guys had a lot to do with really reintroducing this particular size back to the market. Mm-hmm. Short Churchill, the 6x48. And since you guys were coming out with the Short Churchills and your other lines, it seems like everyone's doing a Short Churchill now.
You know, I saw that. But
yeah.
Well, you know, it's coinkydink. I did. Don't get me wrong. We're not the geniuses, all right? But we're not trendsetters in everything. But I did notice that, you know, while everybody was still getting over the haze of the big ass cigar, we went in a different direction. cigar that's just aesthetically pleasing, fits in your hand, good wrapper to the filler ratio. Plus, you know, it's an easier smoke, you know?
Yep.
It's an easier smoke. So we've done that. And, you know, we went the same direction with the Kaixo. We made a 6x48 and we box pressed it for Larache. Yep. That's my favorite size. And Eric's, I think Eric likes 42 to 46. That's his favorite sizes. You know, I like, he likes Coronas and Corona Gordas and, you know, and los Rabitos, like the size we did for the Musielero, that we did the Bouton, which was a 6.5 by 46. We that's a great size. I just think there's just so much flavor in that cigar. And that, you get a cigar in that size, you get so much flavor, you know?
Yeah. I like the short Churchill because sometimes I think a full Churchill, the 7 inches, sometimes runs out of gas.
That's what she said.
Yes, but no, I mean, the Alibi, great cigar, Ecuador and Habano Oscuro wrapper. I know you have on this, but you know, it's a great, I get a lot of that earthy sweetness in this cigar. It's like a medium plus, again, a cigar you want to retrohale, and a cigar, probably not the cigar I should be smoking during a show, but I've smoked this enough to know this is a great cigar and very special cigar for the lounges. So I enjoyed a cigar a great deal.
We're very happy with that cigar. And I think that the Eminent Domain, which is the new one that we should be releasing, the new Backroom series that we brought for mass production now in the next couple of weeks, that's our second attempt at Honduran. And I'm very happy with that cigar.
You don't have more Hondurans than just two?
Yeah, right now we just have two.
You just have two, okay. I thought you were doing a lot more with Honduran.
Yeah, that's my good friend Alan Rubin turned me on to that. Turned me on to Honduran tobacco.
There you go. There you go.
Of using it, you know, his expertise in JR really set me in the right direction.
But no, so yeah, check out. Yeah, definitely check out. You know, the Alibi and all the Especial and all the Espinosa cigars.
Smoke them all.
Smoke them
we
all.
Don't want all your business, just 20%
smoke
of it.
All.
We don't want all your business, just 20% of it, okay?
Exactly. So we're going to get into our next segment, which I'll announce the name for momentarily. It is the segment formerly known as Hot Topics, and this segment is brought to you by Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust. With Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust, master blender Steve Saka set out to create puros sin compromiso, cigars without compromise. This represents an expression of Saka's closely held values and attests in three simple words everything Saka wanted to accomplish. Cigars are more than a passion for Saka, they're a way of life. Ask for the brands of Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust, Sober Mesa, Mi Querida, Umbagog, and Muestra de Saka at your local tobacconist. And by M. Bombay Cigars. M. Bombay Cigars represent the most admired cigar culture of Cuba. They select the best of the best quality tobacco to use in the aging process. M. Bombay Cigars are rolled in Costa Rica by some of the most experienced cigar rollers, giving it a unique smoking experience. The band portrays the detailed and artistic nature of our small industry. Try the M. Bombay and the new Gaia line. M. Bombay Cigars, where the cigars are a way of life.
I met him at the cigar fishing at the Big Smoke.
Yes, he was down there.
I met him. He was a very nice gentleman. We exchanged cigars. He was very, very nice. Very, very, very pleasant.
Long-time supporter of Cigar Coop.
Well, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, really is. And the factory he's using down in Costa Rica is actually doing some – that factory actually I know is doing some very good stuff. There's some good lines coming out of there. We have decided – for folks who don't know, we have decided to rename the Hot Topics segment. And for folks who didn't catch last week, we found out that The View has a segment called Hot Topics, and – We could not have that.
You're gonna let those dried up old women pull. All right, go ahead. No problem. Go ahead.
I don't care if we're sued by them, but this is prime time. We can't have anything.
What do you guys call your show now? The Big Show?
The Primetime Show.
The Primetime Show. All right, I thought you might go Dan Patrick, Keith Overman, call it the Big Show. But hey, this is good.
It's because you got to have a cigar show in prime time.
No, you're right. I mean, this
is – you have to have a cigar show in the primetime hour. It's very important.
I agree. I mean, this is the only show I'll do. And the only show I've been invited to. But anyway.
Well, Dojo's got the late night talk show, so I couldn't do that one, right?
You know, Dojo's show is like Fernwood Tonight, brother. He's like – you know what? He's like James Caan in the grotto at the Playboy Mansion. Hey, babe. You know, he's already kind of – you know, he's already had a few drinks by the time of it. and he's it's I was on that show last year. I had a good time. They're fun guys, and those kids have grown up. He should be very proud of those guys.
I tell you, Jordan's a rising star in cigar media too.
Absolutely,
he's very good. He's very good, and you know, Cigar Dojo is carries all the Cigar Coop news, by the way. So, and they carry the Smooth Doors radio show, which I'm a part of as well.
I'm looking forward to being on that too.
You'll be getting a call.
Cigar Dojo, all the news you need. I mean, Cigar Coop, all the news you need to know.
Yep. So, without further ado, the new name of this segment is, I don't have a drum roll. This is going to be called the Deliberation. We're going to call this the Deliberation segment.
Well, that sucked. All right, go ahead. I'm telling you, the second show, the third show, you're going to get all these little knacks to take care of. All right, go ahead.
It's called the Deliberation segment. Aaron came up with the name. I thought it was a great name.
Aaron came up with this name?
Yep, the Deliberation.
All right.
I didn't put as much thought into the scoring system, but I just had to get it out quick.
Yeah no shit. All right.
Yep.
I guess he said, now, she said was taken. All right, go ahead.
Now we're going to get into our deliberation segment on limited editions, but Hector and I were talking at the beginning of earlier in the week, and he heard our last week's, which was now the deliberation segment on the TAA cigars, which is the Tobacconist Association of America cigars. And Hector, you had a couple of opinions you wanted to weigh in on that, on the Tobacconist Association of America cigars.
The opinions presented by me are not the opinions of the
Tobacconist Association. And by the way, they're not the opinions of Aaron and I or our sponsors.
Listen, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I would love for us to be a part of TAA. We're not ready. I mean, we're not ready, and we haven't been asked. We're too busy trying to get our cigars into blue collar stores, more or less TAA stores. But you know, I think the TAA, when I first heard of them years and years ago, I thought that they were very cool. And it was a very cool eclectic selection of cigars from good manufacturers. But I think I think they've jumped the shark a little bit. There's just a lot of, everybody has a TAA cigar now, practically. Not everybody, but there's a lot of TAA stuff out there. And the secondary market really is what's enabled. The secondary market and the cigar share websites and Facebook pages has really let cigar smokers who don't have a TAA store close by the opportunity to smoke some of these cigars. Some of them are truly great. Some of them, to be honest with you, I've had some, and I don't mention names because it's not, right, it's not the politically correct thing to do, but I smoked one, and I said, "Man, this tastes just like the non TAA." God bless America. I'm sorry. This thing keeps going to low power.
As long as we got you sound, it's
all
good.
Right. Well, fine. And I think, you know, I believe they may have jumped the shark on this, you know. But that's just my opinion. I think. I remember smoking one not too long ago, and I'm like, well, this tastes just like the regular release. What's different about this? There's nothing different about this. But that was, you know, we're happy to have it. And as long as there are independent reps, TAA cigars will be available everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody, it seems that they are available to everyone if you know the right people. And cigar store owners want what they can't have. And they want them for themselves, and they want it for their clients. And I think I think when you have a TAA cigar, it's good press for you, and it gives your client and your customer an opportunity to feel special. Hey, look, I got something that everybody can get. But you know, there's going to come a point where even some of these store owners are going to say, well, what's special about this? And you know, they're gonna come upon there's nothing special about this. It's got a new secondary band.
Yeah, they've gotten ordinary is what we
they've gotten ordinary. They're supposed to be spectacular, you know, and I think that the TAA has been very successful and they've done well to organize themselves and it's not a knack on the organization. It's just the cigars are, you know, maybe there's just no oversight. Maybe they're just happy that a manufacturer will do it. And you know, there's no oversight. There's no testing. There's no, hey, let's have that. I don't think there's any. Hey, send me your TAA star first. Let me try it before we put our thing on it. I don't know if that's how it goes. Since we're not involved in it, I really couldn't tell you. But, you know, we've talked about it since maybe 2 or 3 years. I'm like, man, it would be really nice to get into the TAA. It'd be nice to do a TAA cigar. But we're too busy just trying to get our footprint, you know. We don't that's a very special kind of thing. I don't think Eric said we're not really ready for that right now.
That's fair. That's fair. And I think that's a very fair comment. But you know, there's TAAs are they're limited cigars. Mm-hmm. And so this has become in the last few years, the limited cigar market has just exploded. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's created for some folks this kind of chase to get the limited.
Of course.
You know, because some of these are unicorn cigars, and some of them, I think, are hype cigars. And I think some of them are very good, and some of them are not. I mean, it's just like any cigar. But what happens in the case where a limited – you're told a cigar is limited, and this is the only time you're going to be able to get this cigar. And then suddenly – you're told, no, this cigar is going to be regular production, or this cigar is making a comeback. And I think it set off an interesting reaction in the market as far as – and I'm gonna cite a couple of examples here that I think are important. I think, you know, the one that comes to mind, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone, and I'll give the pros and cons, but, for example, La Palina with the Mr. Sam. Originally, 100-box run of that cigar in 2013. In 2014, that becomes a regular production cigar. You know, Crowned Head had the I just drew a blank on the Crowned Head. The
Imperiosa?
The La Imperiosa, right. And the La Imperiosa was originally a limited cigar. And I just my brain's farted. I'm sorry. It's Las Calaveras.
Right.
And that kind of set off a reaction, and I think it was a little unfair, that reaction, because the reason is the size of the La Imperiosa were different sizes than that original Las Calaveras 2014. So I kind of thought that John Huber was honest about that, saying, hey, look, you know, this cigar had a big reaction to the market. We wanted to do something to provide it to people. And you know, he took some criticism because people were chasing down that cigar, but I kind of understood it, and at the same time it was something different. So, you know, well, at the same point with the Mr. Sam, that 100-box run, people were chasing down that cigar, and now you can get that every day.
Well, look, so, but here's the thing. Say that you make a special cigar, a limited cigar for the TA or anybody else, and the cigar really hits, all right? And now the whole idea of it being limited was the fact that maybe you couldn't get the tobacco that you needed, or, you know, it was a very limited run of tobacco. But now you found some. Now you found a steady source. If you can move it, if you want to move it into production, that's fine. But now, at least if you're going to do that, make your next limited one, keep it within the original parameters of being limited. Something that was small batch, something that you could only make, you know, you could only find so much tobacco for, or, you know, you only wanted to make a certain size, you know, that I don't see a problem with. But, you know, it's just there really truly is just so many limited things you can do. Am I wrong, you think?
Or? No, you're right. You know, another example I look at, another Crown Head example, was Mule Kick was recently announced. It's just coming back.
Right.
But that's 5 years later. The problem I have a little more with Mule Kick was that was originally pitched as kind of an accidental, hey, we found this wrapper that was darker, and we tweaked the blend around it. And supposedly that was one time only, and now it's back. At the same time, 5 years is a long time to wait for something, so I don't have as much of a problem with that one either. But, you know, that's another interesting, you know, what changed now to suddenly make this cigar? I mean, and is it the same cigar is the question, you know?
Well, you'll find out. They should be available pretty soon. I was in the store the other day, and the rep was saying that, you know, I think they're making 1,000 boxes or 500 boxes, and they should be available pretty soon. So we'll find out when you light it up. I mean, we'll find out. I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, it's you can only, you know, if you're – you can't overplay your hand as a manufacturer. You can't pretend that consumers are stupid. Store owners or guys who are smoking your stuff, you know. You can only throw that limited thing at them so many times, you know. That's just my thing.
That's kind of where I go at. And how many times are you going to tell people, you have a limited, and then it's suddenly no longer, you know, and I'm talking, when I'm saying limited, I'm talking one time only. I'm not talking limited production. I'm not talking regional. I'm talking, you know, one time only, where it's kind of a unicorn and you have to kind of go through some hoops to get it. And then you've gone through all the hoops and now it's out.
Okay. But what if that limited release is the best thing you've ever made? It's the best thing you've ever made. And, you know, you're sitting around the table going, you know, we got to keep this. We got to put this in production. You know, it's you got to do what's best for your business as well. It's a double-edged sword, man. It really is. I think the most important thing is to make good cigars. And I think 90%, maybe let's go 75%. 75% of manufacturers out there really want to make great cigars and really make a concerted effort to make good cigars. There's some, you know some of my favorite manufacturers, you know, and I smoke my stuff. I smoke plenty of my stuff, but I smoke plenty of everybody else's stuff. Yeah, I like to know what's out there. I like to get ideas and I want to see what's hot. And there's some guys that I just love their stuff. But then there are some guys that make cigars and you're like, man, this is, you know, I have yet to have a good one from this guy. Who the hell's buying this cigar? Somebody's buying it. I mean, you know, somebody's buying it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of scratch, you know, you scratch your head and you go, man, this is awful. I mean, I wish somebody would knock this out of my hand. This is awful. This is awful.
Yeah. One of the benefits of the stuff coming back is it maybe if you just had, you know, one or you got a box of it and it's something you really enjoyed is you have the chance to, you know, kind of stock back up on those things. But the other side of that is that maybe you missed out on getting the original limited release.
Look, there's a lot of young.
All the buzz was about.
Aaron, there are a lot of young smokers. There are a lot of young guys, 25 and under, you know, who are smoking. You know, even 30 and under who are smoking. We get asked this all the time. Are you ever going to make Mi Barrio again? Well, yeah, we make Mi Barrio. We make Mi Barrio. We still make it. But it's not the same cigar that it was when it was first made by the first manufacturer.
Right.
Because he had access to tobacco that, you know, we don't have access to. Mm-hmm. That it's the same blend. Yeah, we're pretty sure it's the same blend. It just doesn't have the same aging. It doesn't have the same, maybe the same primings. But people are like, we wish you'd bring that back. And, you know, well we have it. We have it. It's just, you know, that was just a special time. That was a special time, and we kind of went through that with Musiello, you know, and it happens to everybody. I really think it happens to every manufacturer at one point or another gets the, hey, how come, you know, unless you're one of those guys who has a couple of core lines and it's everything is great and you don't need to come out with new stuff. And there's very few and far between of those guys. Somewhere in your portfolio, something disappeared that people wish you could get back.
Yeah, that's one of the negatives is when something comes back, you know, is it the same as the original? And there's a reason it was limited in the first place, you know, a limited amount of tobacco or whatever it is. So
maybe the guy doesn't want to sell to you anymore. Maybe you pissed him off and the guy doesn't want to sell to you anymore. Or he got out of the business or somebody bought his whole crop and you're stuck like Chuck.
Yeah.
You know, I look at one example I think this was done well with was, and you can say whether you like the cigar or not, that's not really the issue here, but the Aging Room M356 was a small batch production by Rafael Nodal. And there was, according to Rafael, there was one tobacco that was the gating factor for why that was small batch. And, you know, the cigar was successful for him and he wanted to continue to put it on the market, but he knew he couldn't get that tobacco. So they made a change to the blend. They did substitute the leaf. And what I like what they did with that is they said, hey, let's just call this the M356-2.
Right.
And I like the fact that that's something like, okay, I can understand that, right? And he's not selling that. There's something different about that cigar. It's more, you know, maybe it's close to it, but I like that particular aspect when a company does that.
Honesty is great.
Yeah, and that's similar to what Crown Heads is doing, kind of with the drumstick coming back and the mule kick, where they're kind of giving the year designation on there. So you kind of say that there is a difference. You know, this is a different release. You can't necessarily say that this is supposed to be the identical cigar. It's a, you know, maybe just a crop variation on what that original was.
I understand completely.
Yeah, I mean, Viaje's done that to some extent too. You know, they're Andre will tell you, yes, you know, my previous Skull and Bones, it's the same butts of it, but it's a different vintage of tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, compare and contrast, and you be the judge which is your favorite. And, you know, I'll continue to release it, kind of put some fun into it like that.
Right. Sure. There's a lot of guys that kind of go in buying, you know, bulk of what's limited, thinking that they're not gonna, you know, they're gonna be able to turn it on the secondary market, and then when that re-release comes, value of that stuff goes down. So, not saying that that's, you know, right or wrong, but that, you know, for some of those guys, I think that was one of the big things that happened a lot with Los Calaveras was, you know, there was some people that were sitting on some of that stuff that said, oh, now it, you know, everything I've got is worthless because it's back out. So
they got beanie babied.
Exactly.
But they were different sizes. So,
right.
Okay. I got it. You know, right. You know, and he was very honest. I thought he was very forthcoming on that particular one, mm-hmm. where I thought, okay, he explained what it was. He explained what he wanted to do. And they came out with some different cigars. And I understand why they rebranded it too. I don't know. You know, there's a double-edged sword with that as well.
When that cigar came out, I had it when it came out. I thought it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fantastic. I thought last year's was very good as well.
Yep. There have been, you know, there have been some limited cigars that, you know, some have been made to come back and some have been more successful than others. You know, one example, Aaron, I think you pointed this one out, is Amazon Basin.
Right.
Now, they never said that was a one and done. They just said, hey, it's going to take some time for us to get the next batch of this out.
Right.
And it kind of, you know, that came back, and that's been a huge hit for CAO.
Right.
It's a great cigar.
It really is.
It really is.
A lot of people are saying, I have not smoked the second batch. I still have some first batch. A lot of people are saying that second batch is better than the first batch, mm-hmm. which you don't often hear.
I had one. Jack gave me one about a month and a half ago. I don't know if it was first batch, second batch. I don't know where he found it. I don't know where he stole it, but it was great. I thought it was a very, 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 very good cigar. I was very impressed by that cigar. So you know, I didn't ask the right questions, and I'm sure he didn't know if it was first or second batch. And I think that's something more in line with you guys. You know, you guys in the media monitor that a little bit more. For me, it's more, was it good or was it not good? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very good. My only problem is that I tried to keep the little, I tried to take, because I like to keep bands of the cigars that I like. I used to keep two little things, one of Smoke Again and No Shot in Hell. But, you know, the No Shot in Hell one was overflowing. So I tried to take the little tobacco leaf cigar band that they had put on it, and I destroyed it when I took it off. But I thought it was a very, very good cigar. As a matter of fact, my local store Caribbean had some not too long ago, and I snatched up a couple. You know, I'm telling you, I love our stuff. Don't get me wrong. I love what we do. I love what we make for other people as well. But there are some cigars out there that, you know, that I like as well. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen you, Hector. I spoke of the cigars, you know, obviously with Caribbean too. So
yeah. And I don't take the band off it, you know, and I don't have to hide and, you know,
I think it's good, Hector, that you know what others are doing.
Well, sure, but you know what? It of course it does, because when you see these guys at events, at multi-vendor events, when you see them at the show, it's, you know, you want to get more than just a hey, how are you? What's going on? Hey, man, how you doing? You know, I love that thing you came out with a couple of months ago. That was great. You know, it's. I think it's a sign of respect. You know, I got to tell you, nothing makes me prouder than when some guy, you know, another guy in the business walks over and says, man, you know, I had that LaRange. That LaRange was fantastic. Or, man, you know, I tried that Crema. That Crema was great. You know, and I'll run and tell her, hey, bro, you know, this guy walked over and said he loved it. He goes, yeah, that guy told. You know, that's good. You know, it's good. And there's no need to blow, you know, you don't have to blow smoke up these people's asses. They know that they're in the cigar business, and they're in a business that a lot of people wish they were in, because it looks romantic. It looks cool, and, you know, it looks fancy and shit. But there's a lot of hard work in this, you know, and I think there's nothing wrong with telling a guy that, hey, I respect what you do, and I like what you do, you know. And if there's a guy that you know that you don't really like a cigar, you know, you say, hey, how about those Marlins? You know, you talk everything but cigars with that guy.
Right, exactly.
And the Tatuaje Monsters is another variation on that, because they came back with all the different sizes and things like that of the previous releases. So, you know, talking about kind of size matters type of thing, it's a different cigar, but they're trying to make the blend as close as they can to what those original releases were like.
Yeah, and I think some of them, Aaron, were, you know, better than others. I think there was some where I liked, you know, a good example is I wasn't a huge fan of the JV13, but when they came out with the Pudgy Jason, I really liked it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there were other ones, you know, I didn't really care for the skinny Frank as much as, you know, some of the other, I never had the big Frank, so I can't say it, but I didn't care for it as much as these, you know, the Frank Jr. or the Pudgy Frank. So, you know, I think it is a size matters thing. And I don't know if Pete ever said those were one and done either. I think, you know, he's talking about possibly cycling through the monsters again. And again, now you have 10 years almost since the Frank. So I think, you know, I think that's time, you know, I think that's enough time to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Where the market, I think, is ready. If he would have came out with a Frank in 2009 or 10, I think it would have killed it.
Right.
I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I got nothing on that one.
Yeah. No, so I think the consumer in the end is going to be the ultimate arbiter here. Whether they're going to buy it or whether, you know, like you said, a lot of consumers are educated out there, and they're going to make their own decision on that to see.
Yep.
I sit at the cigar store a couple days a week, and guys will come in and looking for something to smoke, and the owner Alan, you know, Alan will see me there, and he'll hey, they have this, and I think that's great. I mean, I think it's nice that he pushes our cigar, but he also, you know, you can't, there are cigars for every palate, you know. That's why you have to have 200 facings, 200 different facings. So you can, you know, you can cast the widest net for guys who come in to smoke. And I think it's great when guys come in and they're willing to try things. You know, I worked during the recession here. I took a part-time job at a cigar store. I worked on the weekends. And it was a Saúl Havana, probably the largest at the time chain store in Miami. Now they're down to one store, but it's a mega store. It's a great store. And he told me, he goes, "This, the humidor is easy. When the guy walks in the humidor and he goes to the left, he's looking for Padron. Leave him alone. If he goes into the humidor and he goes to the right, he's going for Fuente. Leave him alone. But anywhere between Fuente and Padron, go for it. Go after him. You know, sell him a cigar. Try to put a cigar in his hand." And I think that's become the norm now. I mean, yeah, you still got guys who only smoke a certain cigar. And it used to bother me that, you know, this guy's just limiting himself to what he likes. The counter argument is he knows what he likes, but man, there are so many good cigars being made, so many boutique things out there, that for you not to even consider giving it a try, I think you're just cheating yourself. You're not hurting us. We're gonna find somebody to smoke our cigar. We're gonna find out somebody to smoke. We make good cigars. We have good marketing, and we have a character who's, you know, who's a personality, who's iconic, you know, who's the face of our company. So we're going to get our cigar in people's hands. But, you know, I just, when you see people who are just closed-minded about what they want to smoke, I kind of almost feel sorry for them.
I definitely agree. You know, the one thing we were talking about last week was, I think there was a time where you could chase cigars down, right? And you could go through that chase, right? But now there's a point where there's so many options that are available, more accessible, that you may be able to find something that is really good and you don't have to chase down that other thing because the market's so saturated now compared to how it was maybe 10 years ago.
Well, you know, when you say chase them down, you're not talking about cherry pickers, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Those guys are the best. Those guys show up out of the blue. I've never seen that guy in my store. Excuse me. Right. Do you have this limited cigar? No. But there's two boxes there. Yeah, but you're not a regular. You can't have them. I think that's pretty ballsy on the part of a store.
I've actually seen that happen with not just boutique brands. I've seen it happen with some big brands too.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. I mean, absolutely. I've seen it happen with Fuentes. I've actually seen it happen with where the boxes.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. And the box is put aside for another customer. I don't mind the fact that, hey, we're going to limit you to one or two cigars because we only have this much. I don't mind that, but when it's kind of put aside, I think you're doing a disservice to people on that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but let's put yourself in the store owner's shoes. I got three boxes, and I only get three boxes because I'm a small store.
Right.
Am I going to sell them to you, who comes in twice a week religiously, or am I going to sell them to the first guy, the first douchebag who walks in, who who's willing to pay Keystone Plus for them. Yeah, if I was just a regular businessman and I wanted to make the most bang for my buck, I'd sell them. But you know, what I've been surrounded with my experience here, because the guy Caribbean is, in my opinion, the best kind of cigar store owner, because he's a cigar nerd. You know, he likes the limited release stuff, and he likes the stuff that nobody can get. He likes that stuff because none of it is he ordered for himself. He orders it for the store, and he makes sure that his clientele will always have some of that fancy, you know, that fancy unicorn stuff for them to try. So, you know, he's great about that. When he got in the cigar of the year, he sent a text out to 20 or so of his customers. Hey, I got the cigar of the year in. Let me know if you want me to hold one for you. I think that's pretty cool.
But I'll take the flip side of the coin here. You get that box of cigars, and you open it up to a new customer who might not have been in your store. They go into your store. You sell them maybe one or two of that limited cigar, and then you know they kind of see what kind of a tobacconist you are, and they see the other things you offer in that store. And now maybe you've gained another customer. That other guy is going to buy from you no matter what.
Right, I understand, but you're saying about selling him two. In the case of that cigar, it's a box of 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So you're sending him 20% of that box. All right, so you sold him two. I'm talking about the guy who you've never seen before, who you won't see again until next year, who wants to take half a box of your, you know, seasonal cigar that only comes out, you know, only comes out this time of the year, and he wants to snatch 10, maybe even a box, when you only have three to begin with. And you kind of screw the guy over who's been with you through hell or high water, who's gone to all the events, the good ones and the bad ones. You know, there's gotta be something said for loyalty. You have to reward loyalty somewhere.
Fair point, Hector. That's a fair point.
And that's the way it is, all right?
Yeah. No,
I'm just kidding. When I worked in retail, I was a Nazi. I swear to God. Oh, that's probably a bad choice of words on today on 420. But still, that was probably a bad choice of words today. But still, I was like, what do you
call
smoking?
Anyone a Nazi? You called yourself one.
Well, that's right. I didn't Sean Spicer it. Yeah. So I would, what are you smoking there? Oh, no, you can't smoke that in here. Why? Well, because it's awful. It's awful. You can't smoke that in here. And, you know, if you're going to smoke it, smoke this one. I mean, I was bad. You can buy it, but if it stunk, no way. You weren't smoking that in the store. so you can see my years in customer service were really not gonna. There was no future career there for me.
Exactly.
All right. What else you got, guys?
Well, anything else we want to talk about this, or maybe we just kind of do some wind down stuff?
Yeah, I think we're all set on this one.
What are you guys? Are you guys going to the show? You guys are both obviously going to the show, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys have any prep that you do for the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to map out all the cigars that are coming out, look at the floor a little bit, and then kind of decide the kind of where we want to start and kind of move along from there. And find out
any personal prep. Like me, yeah. this year I'm going to work on a Wellbutrin drip and maybe a salt lick of Paxil to keep me calm during the show.
This year, Coop and I are working on mapping out what booths have the comfiest couches.
That'll be us. We have the best couches.
Okay. So you'll be one of the stops. Find out who has the best couches and willing to stay late.
Yeah. Basically, we want a place to smoke from like 5 to 6:30.
Yeah.
Because
– You're more than welcome. You know, we got those pimp white couches.
That's
and the
right.
beautiful orange rug. Yeah. So we're as pimpy as can be.
We were in Cancel's booth the last day of the show, and we were hanging out with Juan. And they were ripping up the floors around us.
That's right.
And Juan wouldn't leave.
Juan's smoking away, you know.
I told him, he asked me last year, he goes, hey, you know, what do you think? It's our first booth. I think your booth's great. He goes, well, what can I do to make the booth better? I go, don't be here. Let's No. Oh, you know what? I talked enough? I haven't talked enough about Juan Cancel.
Oh, here we go.
No. I've already told everybody the story how Juan just called me in the middle of the night out of the blue, you know. But
we did that to Juan in Nicaragua, by the way. We called him like at midnight in Nicaragua. He was in bed in his pajamas. We did a FaceTime call with him. Dojo called him. He answered. Did he answer? Yeah, he answered. He's like in these pajamas. He's silk pajamas. It was freaking hysterical.
Silk. He was wearing silk pajamas.
It looked like he was wearing silk pajamas.
Oh, from the Hugh Hefner collection. Very nice.
That's what it looked like.
You should have FaceTimed Fernie. He was probably Fernie be wearing his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajamas.
Put feet with, on
with,
it.
With the feet, with the footsies on him. He's on the wall. Anyway, he's on the move. Ken, so I think they're going to have this show for them. That Connecticut's going to be huge for them. And Demon, I think that everybody that we're doing cigars for this year, they're really something special. Every one of these cigars has something different and something special about it, and that's what I'm happy about this year going into the show. Cornelius and Anthony with two cigars, and the El Redado going into full production now. It won't be a unicorn anymore, and that's got a lot of flavor. And you know, I can't get enough of that Themis. I thought the Themis was great. I mean, I did three Connecticuts last year, and I don't smoke Connecticut. Mm-hmm. If you see me with Connecticut, somebody handed it to me, and I'm pretty much trying to get rid of it. But I don't smoke Connecticut. So, and then you know, I'm excited about what we got planned as well. And you guys will know when it's time. Eric or somebody will write it. We'll dress it up and we'll pass it on. But we're excited about the show and what we got coming up for this year. So, and I hate the show. I really do. Vegas kills me. But I'll tell you what, I had the best time last year. It's the show the first year of the show, I was just, it was in Orlando, so it wasn't so bad. I was close to home and we got back quick. And I was just like, who are all these cigar people? These are all celebrities, you know? And then the second year we were in Vegas, and then you're just overwhelmed by Vegas, you know? And the heat, how damn hot it was. And then it was at New Orleans. No, 2 years in Vegas, then New Orleans, which was, I hope we never go back to New Orleans. If New Orleans fell into the water, I wouldn't feel bad. I mean, it's what a tough place to do a show. Not an awful city, but it's just what a tough place to do a show. Everything was so spread out, the smoking laws, and then, you know, the guys getting rolled downtown. It wasn't conducive, but I think going back to Vegas last year, I think it was the most comfortable I've been at the show because I know people now. And since I don't gamble, you know, Vegas, it doesn't, I don't really, you know, pretty lights, you know, it's lights, not nice. Oh, look, hookers, you know, it's, you know, that's what Vegas is to me. But last year was good because I've known some of these people. I've been seeing them for 4 or 5 years and developed some sort of relationships, and you can sit and talk. And I think Coop, you're the one who that night before, that first night we got there, we got in super late. It was like 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the morning. And I was still at the Circle Bar, and I was talking with Sokka, and a couple other guys were sitting there and just talking, and you lose track of time. I go, wow, what a great time it was. It was before all the rowdy guys got there, before all the store owners and all the other guys got there. And I really enjoyed that. You know, I really enjoyed that. Now when I do get a chance to walk the floor, which isn't very often because I'm the keeper of the stash, so I don't really get a chance to walk around a lot. And, you know these people, and they recognize you, and they know who you work for, and that's, you know, I think that's pleasing, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I get to see my friends in the media, you know.
I was going to say, who are you looking forward to seeing in the media this year?
Well, you know, I did a poll this year. I did my own top 10 media thing.
Oh, boy.
I did my own
top 10. Yeah, I heard that you guys were going to rank the media this year. Yeah.
I did. I did rank them, and it was funny. These one guy, everybody came in tied for first except one group. So it was no, actually I'm looking forward to seeing all those guys. I mean, I really had a good time last year with Jonathan David, who really I was really almost embarrassed that I made his list of interesting people. I was so not worthy looking at the people on that list. I was like, you know, I'm batting ninth in this list of people. You know, there were some really, you know, I'm the Mendoza line hitting baseball shortstop. You know,
Worry, I was 10th. So
I'm Rafael Santana. I'm batting 219. You know, and
I was on the bench.
But I'm looking at these people. I'm like, wow. You know, I was just taken back by them. I was so, you know, I was very touched. You know, and you know, I like the guys from, you know, Fallon and Surgeon who hung out, who came by a couple of months ago with, I think his boss, Jeff Lawrence, I think that's his name. you know, so I'm really, I do enjoy the media guys, the ones that I've known and I've talked to. Some of them I don't have a relationship with for some reason. I don't know why, because I'm a charming guy. But I just don't know. I don't know why they just frost my ass a little bit. But and they come to see Eric, man. You know what? They come to see Eric. And
well, they come to see you too now. I'm telling you. No,
yeah, but they shouldn't. They shouldn't. And some won't even come by anymore. I don't know what's up with that. So anyway.
Yeah, I actually want to give a shout out to Surgeon, because he's actually been very helpful in the instrumentation of this program. He helped me out a lot with some of the distribution, getting the feed set up, just giving him some advice. He's given me some advice on how we're going to be improving production as well. So, and he will be co-hosting with me next month. So,
Surgeon's got it going on, bro.
He does. Surgeon's been a big help. He's been an enormous help.
I like that shout out here.
I know he's in the chat room. So.
Oh, he's in the chat room. Tell him what's up, man. Anybody who can give a cigar, we make a 98. All right, my man. Like, I mean, he's my second favorite person besides, you know, the guy with the bucket. You know who I'm talking about.
Right.
You know what's up with that. So anyway, we'll see, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to the show. I really enjoy once the show's going and the people come over and we talk to them. I enjoy that part. But the before, you know, getting ready, and then you know the afterwards is so hot, man. It's just this, god damn, you know, your nose is bleeding for 3 days. But you know what, until and they'll never do the show here, which would be such a boon to do it here. I mean, you know, the manufacturers would be in heaven if the show was here in Miami. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's ever gonna happen, you know.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think so. Smoking by, you can't smoke in the what do you call it, the convention center. Oy, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. I didn't think Orlando was – a lot of people knocked the Orlando show. I didn't think it was bad as New Orleans. I'd rather be in Orlando than New Orleans.
Well, the thing is you have a different kind of customer who comes to Orlando. The guy who came to Orlando brought his family, and they went to Disney World and SeaWorld during the day.
We did, yeah.
While he came to the show. And then the guy who goes to Vegas leaves his family at home and or sends them off to Hoover Dam or to go buy, you know, opals or pearl, or whatever, what's it called? What's that blue shit? Turquoise out in the reservations while they're drinking at the casino or whatever. That's fine. I mean,
you don't bring sand to the beach.
You don't bring sand to the beach. You don't take marijuana to Jamaica. Damn, another bad reference. You know, another perfect reference for today.
Exactly. All right. I think with that, we will bring it to a close this week. We went a little over.
Let me ask you a question. Every time you've had me on, am I always the longest show? It seems that you had me on once for 3 hours, and now we're like
this. Yeah, we've definitely – no, I mean, we're actually trying to keep it – the only reason why we're trying to condense it a little is because it's late for a lot of folks on the East Coast who are tuned in live.
Yeah, they're going to podcast it. They're going to podcast it. How are the numbers? Are the numbers looking good? The analytics are looking good?
The analytics were fantastic for week one. And we just got on the iTunes and stuff, which is, so that's going to be building. But I was very happy with all the support we got from everybody. I mean, I thank everybody who's tuning in live, downloading the show, kind words. There's still some things we're honing. We recognize that as well. And I think we'll tool that over the next few weeks as we kind of get into a rhythm. So you'll see more improvements and things like that. We didn't have a chat room last week, which thanks to Bob Dog, he was like, you don't have a chat room. I'm like, oh boy. So that was a big miss. So we got the chat room.
It's been very active tonight.
Very active. I mean, a lot of us, Victor, John, Kruk, Camp. Yeah. Hector, you got to be our buddy Kruk. You got to be Kruk. The guy's the most passionate cigar guy out there.
No. No, I've got Cancel. I'm good.
No, he's not Cancel. No, just kidding, Juan.
No. Oh, and of course, you know, well, no, can't talk about that either. So, yeah, no, I'd be honored to meet him. I'm telling you,
he's a good guy.
I definitely want to take a tour. There's some stores I want to do in North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia. That's my part of the country. I like that. You know, that's God's country for me, you know. Maybe one day when I retire, when I'm 80, I'll be able to live in live in the Carolinas somewhere, you know, if I don't have to work till I'm 80 years old. But I just like the people there, and it's very homey, and I love that, you know.
Yeah, 9 years down here, I love it. That's
fantastic, man.
Yep.
So what else you got, bro? What else you got, bro? What else you got?
We'll go real quick. Aaron, anything look forward to on developing palettes?
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, we got the big group review of a high-profile Cuban coming up.
I'm a high-profile Cuban.
We're talking about something you just spoke.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And kind of more of the same. Lots of good reviews coming up. Starting to get a little bit more 2017 releases, so that's always going to be a big draw.
I haven't done a lot of 2017 either. Yeah, surprisingly,
we're starting to get a little bit of flow starting to come in. So I think we're starting to see that a little bit more. And then as we get closer to the show, that'll start popping up. And then after the show is always the big boon of new release stuff. So there'll be a lot of stuff coming up from there.
Yeah, no, it's I agree, but I have some 2017 stuff. I got Umbagog, which I guess you could say is 2017 widespread distribution coming up.
Right.
Negociant, which mm-hmm. is the Tatawahe L'Atelier thing, Fratello Oro. So these are things that kind of hit the market, earlier this year that you'll see, and the Avo LE17 as well. So yeah, there's still a lot of 16 stuff I'm plowing through as well. So
yeah, there was just so much stuff. It was hard to get through everything, coming out after the show and then trying to get it in by the end of the year. So there's a lot of rollover into 2017.
Absolutely. What do you think? What direction do you think the market's going to go in this year? Big rings? Are big rings coming back? Or are we still?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Me neither.
I think there's some concerns about the long term.
I think the big rings have been the mark has been cornered.
Yep.
I think the 60 is staying though. I don't think the 60 will go away. I think it will flat. I think it will come.
I think the 60 is the new 52. I mean, that's I hate to say it, but yeah. The 60 now is the new 52. It's the middle of the road. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, but there's very few cigars where the 60 is the shining star of the line. So,
unless it's the
lone offering.
Yep. I have yet to have one where the 60 is the best cigar.
Yeah.
I have yet to have one. I really haven't.
There's a few. I'll give you an example of one. The Avo Synchro.
Okay. I haven't smoked that one.
In the 60, you'd be surprised. I was going through the Synchro and I was kind of a little underwhelmed with that line.
It's just uncomfortable to smoke.
It's a box press, so it's a little smaller.
All right, so box press 60. Okay,
it's a little smaller. Yeah.
I haven't smoked a lot of Avo since they stopped making the Maduro years and years ago.
Yeah.
I used to love the Avo Maduro.
That's a good cigar.
It was. I mean, I don't it's think gone. They make it. It's no, they gone. Don't make, yeah. They don't make it anymore.
Yep. Davidoff discontinued their Maduro. So,
look, my favorite, we were talking about cigars that were limited edition and stuff like that you don't see anymore. My favorite cigar of all time was a cigar called the Don Tomas International, number 9. It was made by, it was distributed by Miami Cigar back in the, let's say, 92, 93, 94. First cigar with Brazilian wrapper that I ever had. What a great, it was a 10 count box. The cigar was phenomenal. And then Don Tomas was made in, I think they were Dominican. They were made where Nestor gets a lot of his stuff made. And I think the Aurora factory. What a great cigar. Gone. Never to be seen again. He used to make a cigar that was called the Astral, which is an inverted torpedo. Gone. You'll never see that again. I mean, so many cigars have gone the way of the platypus. It's and not just limited, regular brand cigars, regular line cigars are just poof and they're gone, Bubba.
Yeah. And then Davidoff is releasing all those cigars in 60 ring gauge now. So the Nicaragua box press.
I saw that.
Escurio.
I haven't seen that. So what did they?
I saw that on another website.
60s.
Yeah. So it's not called the Black Series. What's it called? The
Discovery.
Discovery series. All the Discovery series are released in 60 ring gauge this year.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Wow.
That'll be interesting to see.
The only 60 ring gauge I know that Davidoff has done with the Davidoff name on it is Year of the Horse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've done this Avos and this Camachos, obviously, but Year of the Horse is the only 60 ring gauge I think that has had the Davidoff name on it. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I don't think I'm wrong on that one.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I don't smoke enough of them to tell you. I don't smoke enough of that brand to tell you.
Interesting. All right. I think what we will do is we'll thank you, Hector, very much.
My pleasure.
There. You're always welcome on the Primetime Show. Aaron, thanks again, as always. And you have the week off next week.
I do.
I have Danny Vasquez actually co-hosting and guesting with me. So.
Oh my God! You know what next week's magic word should be? It should be Cancel.
That may be a good one.
Cancel, because I'm sure that you're going to hear Cancel a thousand times.
I'm going to be giving away a lot of coins.
You're going to be giving away a lot of coins with Cancel next week.
And Coop, did we say tobacconist?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, they did it. He waited 2 hours to say it, by the way.
All right. Got to make sure we get the emails in.
He waited 2 hours to say
it. Mrs. Cigar Coop has been awesome at sending the coins out like the next day. So she got those right out. She's a saint.
You got to be careful. That I think there's a new bromance brewing, Cancel and Danny Vasquez.
Yeah, we are going to get into the yes, we will be diving into the pages of that soap opera.
There is a as
novella, novella.
As my heavy mustachioed Puerto Rican man turns.
That is an odd couple.
Well, you know. Don't forget.
Danny and Juan are like total opposite. Because Danny's so, they're both great guys, but Danny's so low key. And, Juan is Juan.
Well, Juan, Juan can't go back to Nicaragua. You know that. Didn't he tell you that story?
I was with him. So this is after the trip?
He can't go back. He poisoned everybody when he was making drinks and stirring it with his finger.
Oh, dude, don't even give me. Yeah, I know. I was sick for 2 weeks after that.
I would rather drink water poured from his taint than have him rub it.
He was passing around a cigar, and I took a puff of it, and basically the whole fat ass crew got sick, and it was like the peace pipe. Oh, you got to try this. And it was really good. It's Lancero.
It was like
Lancero he was working on.
It's like he's working on it. It's like the Indians. Like the Indians when the Europeans get here. Hug him. Hug him. He's got measles. Hug him.
And then I had to go to Vegas 2 weeks later, and I was battling this for 2 weeks before I had to go back to Vegas for something else.
Cancel wiped out the whole fat ass crew and Junior. He wiped everybody out.
He took fat ass.
Who knows where he had that finger? He was really pouring.
Everyone got sick from there.
Hey, but that's a blooming bromance. The guys from La Huella told me that's a romance on the horizon. It's the new Brad and Angelina. We got to give them a name. Vaz Cancel or Cancel.
Cancquez.
Yes. It's a romance. It's a romance for the ages.
Vasquel.
Hey, remember, it's a weird pairing, but there's a seat for every ass. Don't forget that.
We'll be hearing about we will on the primetime show. We will ask the questions that need to be asked.
That's right.
Of course, the hard hitting journalism that needs to be done.
Yep.
That's right. I told Coop, Aaron. I don't think I've told you, but I told Coop if this ever goes to hell, I want to have a show.
I want to do that show. I want to
want in on that. Yeah.
Look at me carefully. I got shit to say.
FTG. FTG.
FTG, buddy. We're going to go live with that FTG. You know, FTG is, well, that's our little our little sewing circle. But, man, let me tell you what. I'd have very succinct cigar reviews. Didn't like it. Just didn't like it. go on to the next one. But hopefully, God willing, that'll never come. We'll be in this business for a long time coming, and I can retire an old grumpy or old man, I'm 51. I'm going to be 51 in a few months, and if I can work till I'm 65, I'll be fine. If I can just get to 65, and live the next 10, 12 years, traveling and bothering grandchildren, people that I don't know, that would be a happy man. Because I'm thinking it's either this or I want to be not the greeter at Walmart, but the guy who checks your receipt. Excuse me, sir, that 50-pound bag of Old Roy is not on your receipt. Take your ass back over there. You're trying to get out of here. Yes, greeter, not quite for me. Receipt checker, I'm all about that. I think I'd be great at that.
What do they call that? Merchandise enforcer or something like that?
Oh, well, it's merchandise bouncer.
That's
well, I don't think I want to. I'm going to be an old man. I'm not enforcing that much anymore.
You can just be on the radio just letting people know who to tackle.
Hey, that guy. Get that guy over there.
Aisle three.
Aisle three. That guy, that guy's got a thermos in his pants. Or he's just happy to see us. I don't know. All right. Hey, say hi to June for me.
I will.
That's another guy from the Juan Cancel School. He forgets I'm on the East Coast. Hey, heck, how you doing? It's June.
Right.
I like him. Nice guy, bro. Nice guys. Yeah. I really met a bunch of nice guys last year. Let's see if this year the same thing happens.
All right, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We'll see everybody next week, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, Thursday, for episode 3 of the Primetime Show. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Smoke Espinosa.